Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, how are we doing this week?
Doing very well, mate. We're squeezing it in where we can. Both very busy at the moment, so doing a bit of a later recording, but we should be good to go on time as usual.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's not that late here. It's only 5:25, so it's not stupid light. My son's still out here, and it's been... I mentioned it later on in the show, but it's been very, very hot over here in Perth. I think we've had like 4 40-plus degree days in a row, so I'm very fortunate to have air conditioning over here.
Oh, well, it's helping us against the Poms and the cricket, so I'm grateful for it.
Exactly. I saw what the weather was going to be, and all these betting sites always have like a deal where they up the odds and stuff like that, so I end up chucking up a fair bit of money in Australia, so I'm happy with that. But, Scotty, before we get into it, I want to mention this episode of Aussie Muscle Radio is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, Scotty, you had a Muscle Meals meeting during the week where you had all the sponsored athletes meeting up there in Sydney. How did that all go?
Yeah, it was really good. You know, I always enjoy hanging out with my fellow bodybuilders, and I like catching up with the Sydney guys because I normally only see them at shows, and often I'm dieting or they're dieting, and we're not in top form. So it was good to get up there because... Muscle Meals, man, you can't really ask for a better crop of bodybuilders. I don't know where I rank. I'm like fifth. It's kind of devastating when you look around the road and you see Ivan Sadak, Luke Timms, Luke Shembri, three IFBB pros, Justin Wessels, who spanked me multiple occasions, Ryan Laos, who's probably ranked higher than me if you go federation for federation with Muscle Mania and things like that. The Gretchy's there. We had the guy that we were most excited about is Soa the Hulk Pelele, who's a UFC fighter who won on the Brisbane card on the weekend. Like all the bodybuilders, we didn't really give a shit about each other. We're all just excited to get a photo with Soa. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw he was
there. Yeah, we had a really, really good meeting up there. Went over the future of Muscle Meals, had a tour of the facilities, which were pretty damn impressive, I must say. It's a very big, very professional operation. And, you know, just sort of discuss the marketing plans, what we can do for the company and how it's all going to go moving forward. So there's some pretty exciting things in store. We got to taste test the new menu, which was amazing. And it was just a good time hanging out with some massive units.
Yeah. Now, how is everyone looking? Like, did you get much on, like, you know, what Luke Timms's and Ivan Sedek's and Luke Shembri's and stuff plans are? Obviously, you know, three Australian pros there.
Yeah, look, Luke's probably, you know, he hasn't been training that full on. He's been absolutely crazy with work and stuff. He's had a few changes at Muscle Meals, and he's only just got some time off the fiery. So he's been so busy, he's not at his biggest and best, but He still managed to break a chair in the middle of the meeting. A wheel went flying off his little chair there, so that was pretty funny. So he's not small.
That's Luke Shembri, obviously, not Luke Timms.
Yeah, that's Luke Shembri. Sorry, Luke Timms is enormous. Ivan Sadak is equally cartoonish enormous, and both of those guys could get ready for a comp in like 4 weeks if they had to. Like they're both so lean and. Me and Gretchy were talking to them about their diets, and they just pound astronomical amounts of food and just do it easily. And I don't know, they don't seem to be able to get fat or something. They looked ridiculous.
Did Luke Timms say anything about doing the Australian Pro?
Yeah, he changed his mind about 5 times over the course of the day.
Oh, wow.
So he was anywhere from, yeah, I'm probably doing it to 50-50 to, nah, I don't think so. Just depending on when you caught him throughout the day.
I love it.
But I'm leaning on Tim's doing it, and I really hope he does because he's massive, absolutely massive from head to toe. He's really been pounding his back. He's recognised that as a weak point. He wants to get that up. Everything else is just enormous. So him and Ivan together amazing. Like, it's, yeah, you feel pretty small around those guys.
Yeah, definitely. What's Justin Wessels' plans? Because he had surgery recently, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's it. He's just rehabbing at the moment. He's not counting himself out of anything. He's not counting himself in anything either. He's just getting healthy, and he's wandering around. Considering he's hardly been able to train up a body, he's still got plenty of size. You know, that physique's been around for, you know, 25 years or something like that. So he was a spectacular junior, so it's not going away anytime fast. So, yeah, I'm sure when he's fully functional and back into it at full speed, he'll be looking fantastic in no time. So he hasn't lined anything up just yet. Ivan, as far as I know, hasn't 100% committed to anything. He did mention that he'd like to, you know, go on a tear through America at some point in time, which is what we've both discussed that we'd hope you do at some stage.
Yeah, definitely.
And as for Luke, he's still keen on the thought of doing a 212-pound show, but a little bit more towards the end of the year.
Oh, really? So he's considering that at the end of 2014?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Would Luke do multiple shows, or would he be a bit hard with Muscle Mills and obviously everything that goes with that?
Yeah, he hasn't locked anything down. He mentioned Asian show that...
What's it called? Yep. I know exactly what one you're talking about. It's on the same weekend, I think, as the Arnold Spain.
Yes, that's the one. So maybe if there's some other 212 shows around then, you might jump in those as well. But that's the sort of time frame he's looking at. There's nothing confirmed. There's no big exclusive there. It's just something he's tossing about in his head at the moment.
Yeah, if Luke's listening to this, I mean, if I were him, I'd be picking out the shows where there's, you know, I think there's the Pittsburgh show, that has a 212, then there's a 212 in England somewhere. So, I mean, if he could tee up maybe some of those ones where it's got two 212 shows on the same weekend, I mean, that gives him obviously, you know, double the chance of getting more points or winning one of these shows possibly. So if I was him, I'd be trying to find those shows wherever I can, because, I mean, that gives a massive chance for him to qualify.
Yeah, and I think you should definitely do an international show, because the American 212-pound guys don't really seem to like to travel. I guess it's not many of them would get flights and things covered, and the prize money is at a level where it may only really cover their expenses if they do well. So I think that's probably the go for him. So he's you know, approaching it strategically. So he'll figure it out and give himself a good chance, I'm sure.
Yeah, that British one, whatever it's called. I can't remember what the show's called, but there's a British one on the same weekend as there's the Pittsburgh, which is, I believe it's Jim Mannion's show. So I would definitely be looking at that one if I was Luke, because we've seen some of these 212 lineups where, you know, you see a few guys good at the top and then they might drop off a little bit. So I think he's one of the guys that can battle with the very top guys in that division as well. And I think he'll shock people. I really think he will. So, Scotty, we'll move on. Now, this week, there's not a whole lot of bodybuilding news going on. I mean, what you know, kind of did happen, was mostly covered off at the end of the show by me and Mick. But, I mean, we're going to do a little bit of interview of you, because I'm going to be interviewing basically everyone else who's doing a pro qualifier, and I'm going to be having them on the show. But we don't really, I mean, while we talk every week, we don't really get to get inside your mind and what you're thinking and what you think about the comp and what you're doing with your prep exactly and stuff like that. So I think we'll just do a little bit of an interview and kind of get your idea on things. Now, this year, I know you're doing... more in terms of, like, you know, in your off season, you're eating a lot of food. Like you told me, he's eating just, you know, heaps and heaps of food, more calories than normal. Now, was this kind of a plan to do this so you can diet on more calories, or have you always done this?
Look, no, I've never force fed myself so much in the off season. I've always blown out fairly quickly after shows, and my body fat's always been to a level where I've sort of thought, I can't really afford to add a whole lot more fat, otherwise the dieting process is going to be really brutal. For the first time ever, I found myself, you know, in, you know, 6, 8, 10 weeks after the show, I was still in pretty good nick, and my metabolism had bounced back to an extent, and I found that I could just keep eating and eating and eating and just adding progressively more calories without getting too fat. Like, I got fat, don't get me wrong. At 140 kilos, I was pretty fat. But No worse than I've been any other off-season, and most off-seasons I've topped out around 132, 134, something like that. So I managed to, yeah, just add some good quality kilos, and I did rev my metabolism up to the point where I'm still nicely dropping weight and eating 4,000 calories a day and not doing any cardio. So the benefits do seem to have stretched on into the contest prep, but the main goal was to just progressively eat more and more and more and get as big as I possibly could. And I did that after a conversation with Luke Shembri. I was up in Sydney. I can't remember what we were doing. And he was just talking about, again, guys like Sadak and Tim's and how much they eat because he sponsors them for muscle meals and how much food they demand and how he can't eat that much. And I was thinking, man, I'm not eating anywhere near that. So I've just got to train myself and my digestive system, my appetite to handle that. And hopefully it pays off come March.
Yeah, and it seems like the way to go these days. I mean, you even hear it from guys, you know, natural guys like Lane Norton and you know, like he advocates, you know, reverse dieting out of shows and then increasing your calories to a point where, you know, your metabolic rate is so good that you don't have to perhaps suffer as much and have to go as low on calories while you diet. And it just seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, look, it does. I mean, if you can get your metabolism to that point without getting overly fat, like, I mean, if you've got 25 plus kilos to lose or 30 kilos to lose, then, you know, it doesn't matter how good your metabolism is. It's going to take a long time to get that off and it's going to slow down again. So, and look, no doubt that's going to happen to me. I'm doing a 20-week prep. I'm only just past week 12. I've done just over 8 weeks of it. And, yeah, things are slowing down. So I'm going to have to do some work, chop the calories back, go hungry or do some cardio at some point. I realize that. But, yeah, look, it just makes good sense. The better your metabolism, the easier the dieting process will be.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I was going to ask you if you're doing any cardio and what calories you're at. You kind of already answered that. You're about 4,000 calories and you're not doing any cardio, did you say?
Zero, zilch, haven't done any.
What about posing? Do you do any posing or anything like that?
Nah, nothing formal. Nah, I might just hit a pose every now and then to see how I'm looking, but no formal posing practice for 12 weeks out.
Yeah. Do you find you get stuck in front of a mirror and you look at yourself maybe too often and you kind of start to do your head in? Because, I mean, I've had that problem before and I'm kind of at a stage where I'm starting to do that now where I'm like 4 weeks in, I'm, you know, I'm a quarter of a way through my diet. Should I be looking better? Should I be looking worse? Do you do that a bit with yourself, or do you kind of, you've done it so many times now, you know?
I do, but I do it later on when I'm a little bit more psychologically vulnerable. you know, you're a little bit more stressed and you've had less sleep and you're a bit more tired and everything else. So normally it's Luke McNally that gets a panic phone call or email or Facebook message from me where I just, at 6 weeks out, I go, I'm behind. What should I do? And he generally calms me down and gives me a few ideas at the same time. And normally, I'm not really behind at all. I've just, you know, just done my head in a little bit. So
talked yourself into it.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, I've just seen some picture of some absolute, you know, freak show and how they look 5 weeks out. And they're 100% ready. And I'm like, well, I don't look like that. I'm 5 weeks out, you know. Like,
I've done that same thing. I've done where you're 6 weeks out and you're thinking, oh, I've got 6 weeks, you know, I'm only this X amount percentage through the diet and all this. And then you'll see a pro or something 6 weeks out and they're in contest shape already. And you're like, well, yeah, if they're in contest shape, that's how I should be. Fuck, yeah. I'm not in contest shape. And you just freak. You're like, yeah. I've done the same thing a few times before. It's not fun mentally as well. You kind of just do your own head in. But
yeah. Absolutely.
Now, there's been kind of talk about this a little bit. Like, they don't have the men's classic division in America. They've just got basically, you know, we've got the men's physique and we've got the men's bodybuilding. Now, there's talk about, you know, them possibly introducing it in the States and making that a division. And it seems like any division they do have in America in the amateur ranks does eventually turn into a pro division. Like, is this something you'd like to see, Scotty? Because personally, obviously, I'm doing classic this year, but it's something I'd like to see regardless. And they said, you know, possibly about, you know, more of the men's physique guys jumping into a classic bodybuilding division.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, absolutely. It's a step up from physique. I mean, they've got legs, they pose. Yeah, I do. I think it really suits some physiques, you know. And And I think it does suit the more aesthetic physiques, the ones with the better bone structures. They're the ones that will ultimately make it to the top of the sport, in the top of that division, because every now and then you'll get a guy who doesn't have a pleasing shape, but he's absolutely shredded to the bone, and he meets the qualifying standards, and he'll win it. But when you get to the absolute upper echelon, you're going to find that everyone's shredded to the bone, everyone's at the top of the weight class, and then it's going to pretty much come down to proportion and shape and symmetry and presentation and all that. So I think it'll be a great division. It's a great division in the amateur ranks, and it'll be even better in the pro ranks.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about this, and I thought about it a while ago, and I thought it would be boring. But then I thought about it a bit more, and I thought, okay, if it's a pro division, they're going to be really gunning for this. Some guys might, choose not to put on as much size just to stay in this division, and they'll have, obviously very good conditioning, and, like you said, at the top of it, these guys are all going to have, like, fantastic shapes. They're going to have that kind of classic look. And I'd love to see perhaps like the posing judged or something in this class as well. So we really bring it back to the kind of old school, real classic shapes, awesome lines. And these guys could also be, they could still do their bodybuilding and still be marketable in a way like a men's physique guy. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think this will probably just be a natural progression, and it will happen if it's, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long it takes. I think that's kind of going to be the next division in the IFBB pro ranks.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the women's jam-packed. You can't have more than, they have five.
Got a few.
It makes sense that the guys are going to be next.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Mick wanted me to ask you this. He said he's dubbing you the favourite, and he's your number one. You're his pick for the pro qualifier in the over, what is it, the over 212s. And he says he wants to know how you feel about a fellow RX member picking you as the favourite to win.
I think it's a very smart, educated guess. I think he's an experienced competitor, and he understands what it takes, and he's putting the smart money on the table.
He will love hearing that. But anyway, Scotty, this is something I'm going to do with all the other guys that I have on the show as well. I'm going to get you to break down some of the physiques that you're going to be competing against, or some of the ones we know that you're going to be competing against. Because it's always interesting to hear some, people's takes on physiques and what they're actually going to stand up against. And a lot of guys say, I want to work on myself, I'm not worried about anyone else. But, most guys do think about other competitors, and they think about who they're going to be competing against. So I'll kick it off at the top of the list. Now, Chris Jenkins, he's an over 100-kilo winner, which is from the IFBB Nationals this year. And that's obviously a class that you took out, I think it was about three or so times, was it?
Yep.
Now, Chris is obviously, I talked to him before he actually did that comp, and he said, I mentioned pro qualifier if you win, and he said, if I win, then I'll decide, and he's obviously done that, and he sounds like he's really taking it serious, and he's trying to add some more size before that pro qualifier. Now, what do you think of his physique? I mean, he did do very well and looked great at the Nationals this year. Do you think he can take out some names here?
Everyone's a contender in the division. There's no one to be taken lightly, especially after the conditioning Chris displayed up at the Aussies. He has some physical advantages over me. He's got better arms, arguably better shoulders and better chest. The thing with Chris is it's just on a smaller frame than mine. He's not naturally as broad as me. His weaker body parts would be his sort of, overall upper body width, his back development and his legs, although he's done a brilliant job in getting them up, where from the front he doesn't really look like he has weaknesses. His legs are really good. But yeah, I think the problem for Chris is I'm just going to have too much size and width on him, and that will be enough to offset his, a slight thickness advantage through some of his upper body. I think in particular I'm going to beat him. I'll beat him a lot more soundly on the back shots than he beats me on any of the front shots, is my prediction. And in all honesty, I don't predict he'll beat me on any of the front shots either.
Excellent. I like it. I like that honesty.
Chris is good, and he's one of those guys, if you slip in with your conditioning and he comes in like he did at Nationals, yeah, he's going to get you, because he used to be unbalanced. Like, you used to be able to say, Art Jenkins, he's just a tank top bodybuilder. But he's not anymore. He's really done well bringing his weaker body parts up.
Yeah, and I was very impressed with him. Like, because I got to see him 2 weeks out in the gym over here, and I trained with him, and I was very impressed. I was like, is it just me thinking this, or is he a lot kind of rounder, bigger, and also in a lot better condition than normal. And it, when he came over, he's holding a little bit of water, and he just seemed to just sweat it out while he's training and just looked better and better as he trained. But the next one, this is a guy you said is your biggest competition in the pro qualifier, Josh Lenardowicz.
Yeah, look, Big Josh is huge, so no one's going to outsize him. He's very, very balanced as well. He doesn't really have any weak body parts, so that's a pretty formidable combination right there. The thing that the reason why I think I can beat Josh is because last year he looked amazing. He was huge. He dwarfed everyone in his division, but from a conditioning standpoint, he had a little bit to go, and you know he could. You know, in some poses, his shape can look a little bit blocky or it's just doesn't quite flow perfectly. In some poses, it's an amazing shape. But I think I can out-condition him. I think I can out-proportion and shape him. And I think the size will be comparable this year. I won't be bigger than him. My plan is to be close enough to him in size that my conditioning advantage offsets that and I get to just pip him.
Yeah, and the people that don't know Scott, like from talking to you and stuff like that and from a few pictures I've seen, even just in T-shirts and stuff, you will be bigger this year and I'm excited about that. Now, a guy that is, he's a big dude and he's kind of gone under the radar a lot, is Andrew Crawford. He competed with the Australasians last year and he got third. As far as I know, he's competing. What do you think about him?
Yeah, Andy is. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I've kind of forget about him every now and then, and it's pretty crazy because Andy's got some real good body parts. In fact, I don't think he's got a weak body part. He's got great symmetry. I don't know what it is about him because when you look at every individual quality, he's got it, but maybe he just doesn't stand out on stage. Maybe he just doesn't have a real over-the-top freaky body part. But if everything's come up, then he's going to present awesome size, awesome proportions, and very, very good shape. DJ's worked with him for a couple of shows. He's probably due to come in with some awesome conditioning. He could be a dark horse that upsets everyone. In the off-season, he looked absolutely enormous. I saw him at a couple of shows, and he was huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he's got to be over 100. Has to be over 100.
Yeah, I can't imagine being under.
So, yeah, look, that's probably a pretty good dark horse bet. Like everyone else, I hope to, you know, out-condition him and, you know, outsize him. But proportionally, he's a pretty big dude, so that's going to be a tough ask.
Yeah, yeah, and he's, like you said, you know, he has a huge amount of muscle, maybe, you know, his presentation or something like that, but he could just maybe slightly work on to make him stand out that bit more because it's going to be hard to stand out in this lineup. And if you don't, you know, I think if you don't pose well and stuff in a lineup like this, I think you're going to be overshadowed. But another guy who was a big surprise this year is Adam Kuzuzian.
Yeah, I think it's just one Z, isn't it? Kuzunian.
Kazunian, of course, yeah. But, he shocked a lot of people this year, and he won, I believe, as the under 100?
Yeah, he won the under 100 Australias easily after winning the under 100 Vicks easily. He did surprise me. I saw him when he won the under 90 Australians, and I saw him up in Darwin, and he was always awesome, but this time he was awesome with an extra 10 or 12 kilos of muscle, so it was pretty scary. So Tony Doherty said he was the best man to ever win the IFBB mix, which means he's better than me in Tony Doherty, at least back when I was winning it. So, yeah, he's really, really good, came in absolute dynamite condition. Work with Justin Wessels was, you know, I don't like to say it, but borderline Wessels-like from a conditioning standpoint, which is a concern for everyone. He's really good. His upper body is absolutely spectacular, better than mine. The thing is, when you look at him, you can see that there's a disparity between upper body and lower body, and that's how I plan on beating Adam. I think overall, just because of my height and my frame, you know, he's got this dramatic sort of taper and with the crossing shoulders, but I think standing next to me, that'll hopefully be diminished a little bit, and I'll have the legs to take him out and match him on conditioning. That's one bloke I don't think I'll be beating on conditioning if he comes in like he did at the Aussies and VX. It was hard to get better than that.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, I'm looking forward to seeing the battle between Adam and Chris Jenkins as well, because those guys didn't get to face off against each other at the Nationals because they didn't do that overall, but it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top in the pro qualifier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as always, I'd love to see overalls at the IFBB shows. Would have been good. I probably would have thought Adam would win it, but yeah, it wouldn't have been easy.
Yeah, I reckon it would have been very close from the pictures I've seen, at least, anyway. Now, one guy who, you know, if I had to guess, I'd have to say he's going to do the 212. But actually, there's two of those guys as well in the same boat. And that's David Cutler. That's the first one, and Adam Brown is the second one. But we'll talk about David Cutler. He's got second in the past 2 years. Another guy that goes under the radar big time. I mean, you always hear about yourself, Josh Leonardowicz. You hear about Chris Jenkins. But, yeah, David Cutler is one that goes under the radar considering how good he's looked and how well he's placed.
Yeah, look, he does go under the radar, and it all comes down to the fact that he has no internet or social media presence, which is kind of funny. Because, you know, 15 years ago or something, he would have been very well known. But, yeah, look, he's obviously very good. He beat me last year. Look, I've looked back at some of the photos and stuff like that. He didn't beat me easily. In fact, I think if I'd made the first call out, I would have had a chance at beating him. But I still think Neil Garner had short man syndrome and just put Gary Wright in there because he wanted to see a midget in the first call out. So, I think I've improved a lot more this year than David Cutler will have. I am annoyed that I look back at the photos and stuff of the last pro qualifier and my conditioning wasn't what it should have been. So I plan on being hard as a rock and a fair bit bigger. So I think that's trouble for Cutler.
Yeah, and your condition last year, I mean, while it was good, like you look at your condition and you say it was good, it wasn't just, I've seen you before where it's just been that little bit crisper, just that tiny bit that really makes, like, I mean, I saw you at the Australian titles when you beat Daryl Tomuli, and your condition there was very good, and I remember seeing that and just your condition at the pro qualifier last year, and just that being that tiny bit of difference, it just makes probably a lot of difference.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Yeah, no, I wasn't hard enough. It's pretty much that simple, and you know, I sort of look back on it, and it's funny, Luke Timms said something just real poignant to me. Like, Luke Timms is a very straightforward dude. We shared a ride to and from the airport and had about an hour each way to chat to each other up in Sydney. And when he talked about conditioning, he said the same thing about himself. He said, look, you know, when I got those crazy, crazy condition, when I've been lucky at the pro qualifier and maybe even the first pro show, like, I just suffered for that, you know. I really, really killed myself to get in that crazy shape. And these last few years, I just haven't quite been able to take myself to that point of suffering. And you can see it in my condition. And he said, yeah, it's probably the same for you. You know how to get in that condition. You did it at the CCI. And he was like, yeah, I don't think he's quite suffered enough last year. And honestly, I look back at it, and I didn't take myself to that place of complete and utter misery and exhaustion, because I just had so many things going on in my life that I couldn't go there. I had too many other things I had to attend to. And I'm not going to let that happen this year. I'm putting all sorts of strategies in place so that FitX is easier, the Mass Nutrition booth is easier, the PTs are much easier, I get more sleep, everything else. So I've pretty much already got myself in a position where the last month or two is going to be about bodybuilding and about taking myself into that, you know, complete and utter hell where you have to go just to be stupid hard. Like, you can get hard. You know, like, I got hard last year, and by normal people's standards, I suffered, but there's degrees of suffering, and I figure I don't have too many more shots of this, so I've warned my girlfriend. I said I'm going to a horrible place for this contest prep, and I hope it pays off.
I love that. And yeah, it's funny. Like a lot of people will say now, you know, you don't need to get that suffering. You shouldn't kill yourself too much. But at the end of a contest, pretty much to get that from good conditioning or you know, a very good level of conditioning to great conditioning, and that just that peeled look, you do have to suffer a little bit, even if it's only for, you know, really a few weeks or whatever. You do have to, I mean, you know, I can't see myself getting in really good condition without suffering a little bit while I'm very mindful of it, because I don't want to get myself back into a state of fatigue or anything like that. You know, I am kind of, you know, I don't, at the same time, I wouldn't bother getting on stage if I wasn't going to be 100%. So there is that suffering that has to kind of pretty much happen.
Mate, if you want to out-condition or match Luke Smith's conditioning, you're going to go through some misery too.
Yes, I know. that's the guy I keep thinking of. I keep thinking of his fucking, his shredded glutes and his chest and everything last year. I was like, shit, I've got a lot of work to do. But yeah, one last guy, Adam Browner. I know you've talked about him before, and you've said, you know, he might struggle into, he might have the Gary Wright type deal that Gary Wright had last year, where he finished fourth place, and a lot of people were dubbing him to win that show. What do you think about Adam?
I don't know enough about him. Like, it's hard for me to tip someone on the basis of their second pro show, like a second real contest prep. Sorry. Look, the first time round, he oozed potential. You know, his whole story is just the story of a future pro, you know. Like, I didn't know what bodybuilding was, so someone told me to jump in this comp. I was really only doing push-ups and chin-ups, and I won it, you know. Yeah. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe there might be a future in this. So I trained for a couple of years, and I won the IPB Vixen in Australia's. And then he goes away and trains a bit more and you know, comes back and turns pro. That's the story of a pro, you know. When you genetically designed to get on the pro stage, that's pretty much how it goes for you. You don't suffer the ups and downs and the battle for a state title and all those other things that normal people do. So he could be absolutely amazing, but look, the last time he got on stage, he had some weaknesses. I know he certainly looks like he's brought some legs up by the pictures he's posted.
Definitely, yeah.
But you know, in all honesty, I think the real weakness he had was his back. So I don't know. Look, if he's brought it up, he'll be awesome, but you know, to test yourself at this level of competition physically but mentally as well, like it is a different ball game, because there's more on the line, there's more competitors in it that you know about. If you don't have the psychological makeup, it's easy to do your head in, because you'll be seeing pics of these guys and their fans will be jumping on there going, are you going to win this easily? You're going to smash everyone. And if you're reading that, you know, it can get to you. So, look, I've done it enough times, and I've been in enough competitions where they're hyped up and everything, and I've seen, you know, guys surprise us and guys disappoint, that I know nothing's guaranteed. But, you know, if you're second prep, it's hard to do everything right yourself, both mentally and physically. So it'll be interesting. I really am looking forward to seeing how he does, because I like the guy, and I really, really like his physique and the potential it holds. So if he's, you know, gone a ways to realising that potential and he gets on stage and beats me, awesome. You know, I will keenly follow his pro career.
Yeah, and who knows, he might be actually doing the 212, so we don't really know that yet, but I'll message Adam and try to get it out of him. But, Scotty, that's pretty much it for the end of our interview. But I just want to mention, I saw this on Facebook the other day, and this is a guy who did the first pro qualifier, and that's Lucky Hatzipantelis. Now, he claimed on Facebook that he's making a comeback.
Yeah, he did. Look, a comeback after 2 weeks of training is like a retirement 2 weeks after a comp, if you ask me. you know, Lucky's an interesting one, you know. Like, he's all about, you know, don't talk about it, just do it. But, you know, at the moment he's just talking about it. He hasn't done anything. There's no comeback yet.
So we're putting the pressure on him now. So if he doesn't do it now, then he's going to just look like a liar.
Yeah, well, he's put some pressure on himself, I suppose. And maybe that's a part of it. Maybe he put it out there because he wants, you know, he wants to be held accountable for his words. So, man, I'm a massive Lucky Hatzipantelis fan. Loved his physique. Every time he got on stage, I was excited, even if it was just to see the crazy legs and the awesome posing routines and everything else. So, Lucky's a great bodybuilder, another one that had pro potential the whole time in my eyes, even if he didn't think he had it in his eyes. Maybe all he needed was some time away and a little bit of self-belief, and I hope he's got that. But at the moment, it's all just social media talk, the sort of social media talk that Lucky makes fun of other people for. So get to work, Lucky, and get on stage and show me that you're serious.
Yeah, well, the thing, I get what Lucky means. I mean, he did have a lot of people saying, you're going to turn pro and you're going to do this. And I mean, he told me, he said he felt the pressure from it, you know. He didn't, I don't think he enjoys the pressure of expectations, things like that. Which, you know, we think that's insane. We think, you know, you look awesome. Like, you shouldn't worry about it. Like, if you don't turn pro this year, it will probably be next year. But obviously, being himself, he kind of, I think when he lost to Luke Timms, it really, I don't really hit him, and he just thought, I don't have what it takes to do it. So, which, you know, looking from an outside looking in, we say that's insane, but to himself, he obviously thinks that. So hopefully he does get back into it. Hopefully we do see him on a pro qualifying stage, maybe in the next few years. But yeah, as we said, I just thought I'd mention it because he put that out there and he's getting a lot of response from it. But Scotty, I want to mention, just before we head to a break, we're going to be doing the last show of the year, not next week, I believe it's the week after, which will be, I think, on the 30th, we'll record and it'll be released on New Year's Eve. We're going to be doing our top five stories of 2013 for both international and Australian. So I want to let everyone know that it's going to be you, me and Mick on the line recording that, so that will be good, and we'll be able to kind of see how the dynamic of all three of us working together on the show is, and that's going to be a big one, and we're going to talk about, obviously, all the other goings-ons in bodybuilding that week as well. So it'll be fun to kind of do that segment and just talk with the general bodybuilding news, all three of us at the same time.
Yeah, and look, we can listen to Mick Galley's New Year's plans about how he hopes to go out with the boys and watch them get really drunk and really messy and go home early to bed.
Oh, Mick doesn't like it when I record with him first and then you second, because he likes to say to me every time, he says, what did Scotty say about me? So he has no comeback now that I recorded with him first.
Well, no, he said some nice things about me last week. So maybe he'll surprise me and he'll actually put his party hat on this time.
Yeah, maybe. But he's dieting for a photo shoot at the moment. So
oh, there's his excuse. Beautiful.
Yeah, it all works out. But Scotty, on that note, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with a bodybuilding yes or no and ask Scotty segment.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. In International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermal burn protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Scott Goble, and we are here for his weekly segments, his Bodybuilding Yes or No and Ask Scotty. Now, Scott, are we ready?
We're ready.
Now, we've got 2 Bodybuilding Yes or No's, and we've got 3 or 4 Scotties down there. Now, first Bodybuilding Yes or No, has Flex Wheeler's career been more successful than Kevin Larone's?
Oh, wow. I think Kevin won more pro shows, but I think Flex won more Arnold's.
That's why I did that one, because, you know, the Arnold's obviously more prestigious, but Kevin's won a lot of pro shows.
I don't know. If you had to rank him, I think Flex Wheeler would be above Kevin, just because he was real close to the Olympia with Ronnie, 98. He's got more Arnold's, so... I think you would rank Flex slightly above him in the scale of the all-time greats, but the names sort of go hand in hand. They're synonymous with each other. They both were major, major players in their era, and the sort of, you know, aesthetic yet large physiques that sort of define that era. So, I'll vote Flex, but both all-time greats and Hall of Famers.
Yep, totally agree with that answer there. Now, second question, will David Cutler get his pro card if he does the 212 pro qualifier?
Very good question. Browner.
he's wrecking everything.
You know, Gretchy looks big.
I think he's going to make some big improvements, Gretchy. I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, he's coming down from 104, so he's not going to be getting up there at 84 anymore or anything like that. Like, he's going to be pretty much smack on 90 probably. Jeez, I don't know. Cutler, look, I'd have to say he'd be the favourite, because he's going to be hard. I'll say Cutler, because he's probably going to have to suck down. I think he was about 98 or something last time.
So he's going to have to suck down a couple more kilos, which is going to guarantee he's 100% on the money. He's got a classic physique. There's no weak points to it. I'll vote colour.
Yep, I agree again. Now moving into our Scotty segment. Okay, what do you think about different forms of creatine, or is monohydrate just the best and most researched?
I always go for monohydrate just because it is the most researched. There's a bit of stuff about creatine hydrochloride, which looks all right, but I think there was a bit of stuff once about, you know, creatine ethyl ester, and that was proven to be rubbish. So I personally use monohydrate. The only time I'll tell people not to use monohydrate is if they've used it in the past, they got nothing from it, or they got some gastrointestinal distress. And even then, I'll generally tell them to just try a different, more reliable brand of monohydrate, because in the past it had come out of China with a lot of impurities in there, and that was the cause of the gastrointestinal distress, not the actual creatine itself. So it's always my first point of call. It's an extremely economical supplement. I don't see any reason to go for a more expensive alternative form if you don't need to.
Yeah. Something I find interesting, I've heard, I had a friend that tried it quite a while ago. I mean, I've heard of a few other people that have tried it, and they actually have noticed the results, and they said it's quite good, and that's creatine creatine. Have you ever used that, Scotty?
No, I haven't. I've seen a few studies that have shown that it's no better than monohydrate.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, you know, pH buffer and all this sort of stuff was pretty much just totally irrelevant once you throw it in a super acidic digestive system and all this sort of stuff. So, I think it's just fancy monohydrate.
Yeah, most likely. Now, second question, what's your thoughts on soy for both men and women?
Honestly, I don't know enough about it. Look, I know we don't stock any soy products at all in Mass Nutrition Mooney Ponds. Both my business partners are strongly against it, largely due to the sort of phytoestrogenic compounds in it. So that's plant-based compounds that work a little bit like estrogen in your body. And while they don't have the same affinity to bind estrogen receptors and activate them as pure estrogen does, they still do cause some estrogenic effects in the body. And generally, estrogenic effects are not associated with lean muscle and fat loss and a dry appearance and everything that we're going for. So I'm not a fan. I don't really see any reason to go for soy over a whey protein. If I had to go a vegetable-based protein, I'd probably get a blend,
rice. Pea and rice or something?
Yeah, exactly. Something that forms a complete protein when you put it together and doesn't have that phytoestrogenic component to it.
Yeah, and there are a lot of studies that do show that those estrogenic effects, and even in women. I mean, like, you think in women it wouldn't be too bad, and, you know, obviously they do have estrogen already, but it does show, you know, hormone imbalances and things like that in women. So it definitely would be something I'd stay away from the research we hear. But we do hear a lot, you know, the mainstream, a lot of people think soy is healthier, or soy is the healthy option and things like that, which is, you know, a lot of people find, you know, a lot of studies are showing now that's not true. So
that's a good one for Matt Legg.
I will
defer to Matt Legg on anything, on any topic like that.
I'll refer to him on any topic about anything nutritionally or supplements or anything. So he's a genius. But next question is, what's better for fat burning? Stimulants, i.e. caffeine, things like that, you know, DMAA, or thyroid-stimulating products like tyrosine, iodine, and things like that? Or is this totally dependent on the person's thyroid function to start with?
Probably, yeah, I think so. I would maybe even say that, you know, the stimulants and things like that are probably better in the short term, where the other things which are supporting your thyroid might be better in the long term. I think the body's got an amazing ability to adapt and sort of build an immunity to stimulants, you know, and everyone knows that if they drink coffee all the time, that eventually that coffee doesn't do a whole lot for them. And I think it's the same with pretty much any stimulant on the market. So, in fact, you know, long-term stimulant use or borderline abuse could cause a metabolic slowdown because your body no longer feels the need to rev itself up. You know, again, Matt Legg will be able to tell you the exact mechanism, was it a negative feedback loop or something like that. But I think short-term stims will probably do the job, but they're no long-term solution. You'd be much better off with a healthy, fully functioning thyroid.
Yep. Now, this is something I kind of wondered. I mean, I never use stimulants. The most stimulants I get is, you know, caffeine from green tea, which is a very, very small amount. But, I mean, in terms of using stimulants when you haven't used them in a long time and perhaps using them at the end of a contest prep, maybe just for that little bit of energy and, you know, those, like you said, those fat burning effects and stuff, do you think that's a good idea, or do you think that perhaps the, you know, the cortisol release I might get from it may be a kind of a negative?
I just pound the shit out of stimulants towards the end of my contest prep. And I don't know if it's because of other things I'm doing that I don't really seem to lose muscle, but I've my body just seems to be able to take anything. I can abuse the living crap out of it. I was up, you know, 800 to 1,000 milligrams of caffeine a day, plus other stims thrown into the mix. And while my sleep patterns might be pretty disturbed, and that could definitely be related to cortisol, I don't lose muscle. It allows me to function a little bit better throughout the day. And yeah, I do believe it helps get me lean. Now, I'm using bugger all stims at the moment, and I'm going to keep it as low as possible for as long as possible, because I don't think there's benefits in doing that either. But I think maybe, yeah, it depends on the individual's constitution, but I seem to be able to abuse the living crap out of stims and get away with it.
Yeah, and I think if I do use them, I'll be using a very small amount just because I don't want to hurt my adrenal glands that much. But, Scotty, that's it for our Ask Scotty and Bodybuilding Yes or No segment. That's it for you for the week.
Thermobar and Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at mymusclechef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Leave that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm on the line with up-and-coming bodybuilding star and a guy who's going to be competing at FedEx 2014. I'm pleased to welcome back to the show, Sonny Rankermouth. Now, did I get that name wrong or was I close?
Yeah, close again. Probably the last part was a little bit off, but...
Is it Rankermouth?
Yeah, Rankermouth. Yeah, that's right.
Rankermouth. Oh, okay, yeah. Me and Mick was discussing on the show, and Mick had absolutely no idea, and he's one of your best mates, so I didn't feel too bad. Now, from what I've seen, mate, like looking through Facebook and stuff like that, when I've seen a few pictures of you, you're looking great. I mean, it's about 12 weeks out now, and you're looking absolutely sensational. I mean, for this far out, your condition's very good. It looks like you're on track to nail your best conditioning ever, and Mick had a lot to say about you. I mean, we recorded a later bit of a show, actually before we recorded this interview, and that's kind of what made me thought to actually get you on the show. And, like, I mean, he talked a lot about how he's just blown away by how you look and stuff, and he wasn't sure how old you are. How old are you, mate?
I just turned 23 a couple of months ago.
So you're a guy that could be doing the juniors, I guess. I mean, I think the juniors go to 23 in IFBB now.
I think I'll still make the junior category, but... Yeah, I made a decision after finishing up last year in juniors that I wanted to step into the Opens and go from there from next year onwards.
Yeah, so you're still obviously a young guy, and from everything Mick was saying, he said you're going to blow some people away this year, and Mick said if you're coming out of FedEx that you're going to be one of the guys that people are really talking about regardless of if you win or not. So you're doing the under-90s at FedEx, and you're going to be up against like one of your best mates in Aaron Pilates. Or Pilates, as Mick would say. now you guys have a bit of friendly banter going on through Facebook and stuff like that, but what do you think about Aaron's physique as a whole? Like, what do you think his strengths and weaknesses and things like that are?
First I'll say I'm not entirely sure Aaron is deciding to do the under-90s anymore, because he's kind of in the same situation as me. As the way it's going, I'll be in condition above 90 kilos, but it'll make more sense for me to be the heaviest I can be in the under-90s, so I'll drop down to that. I think the same sort of situation is going to be happening with Aaron, and so I actually think he might be doing the under-80s again instead. But to answer the other part of your question, no, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious Aaron's got amazing genetics for bodybuilding. You know, he's super round, he's got really good insertions, he didn't really seem to have much trouble getting into pinnacle condition this year. He carries a shitload of mass. I mean, I see him on a daily basis pretty much. We train every now and then. And, yeah, we do have a bit of friendly rivalry going on, I guess, because we've never competed at the same shows or anything like that. The way he's looking and the way he's going, I think he's going to come out again in FedEx next year and do really well. And, he surprised a few people. I mean, he's put on quite a bit of size in the off season this year as well. And if he nails his condition, I don't see many people having a chance against him, to be honest.
Yeah, he's going to be definitely tough to beat, especially in the under 80 kilo class. I mean, it'd be very, very hard for anyone to beat him in that class. Working with Chris Thomas this year, who's out of a mass nutrition training facility.
Obviously, what he's doing at the moment for you, you mentioned before we actually did the interview, you said you're actually not doing any cardio at the moment, you haven't done one bit, and you're getting in really good condition. I mean, what's he changed for you in terms of your prep, and was he working with you in the off-season as well, or?
No, he wasn't. I just grabbed him at the last second coming into my prep. I guess, yeah, on that note as well, he's actually banned me, like literally told me I'm banned from doing cardio at this rate, just because, of how my condition has come in the last few weeks, which is very rare for me. Normally, every time I compete or I've come in with any coach, by now I'm already on at least 40 minutes a day, minimum 5 days a week of cardio. So it feels kind of strange. I have a lot more energy because of it. At the moment, I don't feel flat. I feel quite full still. And yeah, I think, as I was telling you earlier, this prep so far has gone better than any prep I've had by a clear mile. Not only because right now my conditioning is so far ahead of where it usually is, but I don't even really feel like I'm dieting at this stage, to be honest. My gym sessions are still roaring, and yeah, the one thing I can say about Chris is he's unbelievably meticulous with everything he does. So he's very, precise, very accurate. It is a different dietary approach that he's done with me. It's, you know, he's very big on the poliquin stuff and
so like the fats in the morning and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. McNally and him they're both mad scientists. You know, they're both super intelligent guys and they're constantly researching and trying to advocate new ways into their own plan. Like the thing I like about both of them and Chris as well is just they will research something, but then they will test it on themselves first. And then, you know, before even trying to implement it with a client, you know, they'll make sure that they've seen some sort of positive return from doing it. And so far, everything he's done with me has just been remarkable. Like it's blown my mind, the changes in my body and since I started working with him. Prep has been going better than ever.
Awesome. Well, does Chris basically just take care of your nutrition or does he have any kind of input or say on your training as well?
At this stage, no, I like to take care of my own training. I like to, I think we spoke about my training last time. I'm very much into my heavy lifts, but, you know, I don't discriminate against hypertrophy during the week as well and more traditional sort of rep ranges. I hit everything generally twice a week, so I have a kind of a good mixture of that sort of stuff as well. And as far as training goes as well, I try to soak up as much knowledge as I can from people that are kind of switched on in that regard as well. I've been training with Adam Dearling this week, and I plan to train with him for the rest of the week because he's another guy that's super, super fucking switched on with that sort of stuff. And just learning a lot from him as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what's your strength been like during your prep? Has it gone down at all, or are you one of those guys that kind of gets stronger and grows into your shows?
It definitely hasn't gone down. If anything, it's kind of slightly gone up. I mean, I haven't hit any PBs or anything like that, but all my strength has kind of definitely been maintained since the beginning of prep. I'm still doing my big lifts quite frequently. Like, I started deadlifting again a couple months ago, or maybe just over a month ago, and I've slowly worked my way up into the heavier range with that. So yeah, like I said, it kind of is blowing my mind still that I don't feel like I'm dieting. I'm notoriously known from myself that, you know, around 12 weeks I'm still not looking, you know, in crazy condition or anything like that, and I'm starting to feel a little bit flat from excessive cardio and everything has just been complete opposite this prep, and I can't complain about anything at this stage.
That's awesome. It's good to hear. Like, I mean, I know a lot of guys at McNally has prepped, have said a lot of the same things, and obviously Chris Thomas as well, have said they haven't really felt that much like they're dieting, and it seems like a lot of the poliquin methods and a lot of the methods they use, they're even similar to some of the things I use as well, the fats in the morning and things like that makes a big, big difference, I think, to your I mean, do you notice much of a difference in terms of, like, your energy levels in the morning, like, when you do have the fats? Because, I mean, it's a common misconception that people think, oh, you have to have carbs in the morning to have energy. Do you notice much difference?
Oh, you know, that's one of the biggest differences that I mentioned to Chris. You know, swapping over to that high-fat protocol in the morning, or just, you know, just swapping to a high-fat meal and eliminating carbs, it's a ridiculous energy increase, you know, especially if you're on, you're somebody that is on high calories and, you know, eats quite a bit of food. You know, you have upwards of 100 grams of carbs with your breakfast meal. You know, you're going to get that serotonin hit and, you know, feel drowsy and sleepy afterwards. It's a complete opposite when you're on, you know, high fats. I get a real subtle energy kick and it just kind of carries on through the rest of the morning. Like, I have huge energy in the morning now. And I don't, you know what, because of that, I don't actually think, it might vary a little bit back in, going into the off season when I'm really trying to put on size, but I kind of don't feel like changing from, you know, just that meal being fats in the morning. It's made a big difference to my mental clarity in the morning as well.
Yeah, and I've done, actually, personally myself, I've done it for the past year and maybe 2 years now. And it really does, I mean, I do it all off season and everything, and it's really, really good. And you can just, you know, obviously in off season you increase those fats a little bit and obviously increase the carbs around your workout and stuff. Now, are you a guy that typically, you know, you need to eat a lot of food off-season to grow, or do you naturally put on size? Because, I mean, we mentioned this last radio show, we talked about your nationality. You look like, you know, like you have that kind of Maori or Islander look about you, but you're actually, that's actually not true. But I always thought that it's probably just your genetics and maybe you didn't have to, you know, pack away tons of food to put on size.
No, I don't. My strength is definitely putting on size. I don't generally have much issue putting on weight. I guess the flip side is my body doesn't really discriminate as well between fat and muscle, so it kind of all comes on if I'm not on top of things. So normally I'd say, like, conditioning is always going to be my main focus, because that's essentially probably going to be the hardest thing for me in relation to bodybuilding. You know, like, I don't have trouble putting on size, but yeah, getting into condition, I still am not happy with what I've shown on stage, you know. And that's my number one goal coming into these shows next year, is just to absolutely nail my conditioning and, you know, have nothing left to give by the time I hit stage.
Yeah, and from what I've seen from you, if you really do nail that conditioning, you're going to be a tough one to beat even at 23 years old. Now, are you just doing FitX, or will you be going on to do the Australasians or the Omara Classic?
I'm not 100% sure on the Omara yet. I'm definitely doing the Australasians. Personally, I think the Australasians is more important at this stage, because obviously long-term goals, I would like to attain an Arnold invite and at the same time get my ticket into the pro qualifier for whenever I decide to do it. I've spoken to Chris about plans over the next 2 years with where I want to go, and I think I mentioned as well last time I was on the show that obviously I'm trying to chase the pro guard, and that's definitely the dream, that's definitely the goal. So I definitely wouldn't be somebody that would rush into doing the pro qualifier. I would be more inclined to do it knowing that I have a damn good chance at winning. So, you know, if I can put on enough size within the next year, say that everything goes to plan, after these shows coming up in March, then I will definitely consider the pro qualifier the following year. But if I feel like, you know, there's still going to be, I need more improvement or something like that, then I won't jump in it.
Do you think you'd fit in that 212 class, or do you think you'd have to add too much size to be competitive and you'd have to go open?
Given my weight now and where it's looking like I'm going to end up on stage in peak condition, I think within a year's period, it would be smarter for me to try to be the heaviest within the 212. As far as pursuing bodybuilding as a pro, I don't think I'll, you know, be in the 212 for long, in, like, you know, the very long-term future, just because my height is more inclined for the opens, as opposed to maybe like someone like Pilates who would be perfect for 212. Yeah. But yeah, as far as going for the pro qualifier, I think if I do compete the following year, say everything goes to plan, then I'll probably jump in the 212.
Awesome. Excellent. And I'd love to hear guys coming up, you know, really looking at the pro qualifier and kind of, I suppose, a lot of guys are upping their game, and it seems like the pro qualifier is getting better and better every year. I mean, we've gone from having one category to two categories within, you know, within 1 year, so it kind of splits up the field, but it seems like they're both going to be just as strong as last year almost. So it's a real credit to, you know, what the pro qualifier has done and how it's got a lot of these young guys. I think we're only going to see it grow probably in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's looking like this is going to be the biggest FedEx so far. I mean, not just because they've kind of introduced that 212 section for the pro qualifier, but man, I'm getting constantly added on, you know, ads on Facebook left, right, and center from guys, and I take one, you know, look on their Facebook page, and they're all competing, they're all dieting, so everyone's kind of checking everyone else out, and it's kind of a good atmosphere, you know. I like that feeling of competition. Everyone's, you know, going quite hard, I think, coming into the shows next year. And yeah, FedEx just looks like it's going to be ridiculous. It just looks like there's going to be, you know, ridiculous amount of competitors. And that's why I kind of tell the other boys as well, like my closer friends like Pilates and Luke, that there really is no time to, you know, let the foot off, because you just never know who's coming in. You never know who's been lurking in the shadows, or, you know, new competitors, or, you know, there's genetics freaks out there that are kind of catching on to the sport, and that makes it really exciting, to be honest. And that's why I kind of can't wait until the shows next year.
Yeah, and it's really it's up the standard. I think the FedEx standard, even not even pro qualifiers, but in the other divisions, is higher, because a lot of people see this as being a prestigious show, and, you know, the quality being so high that you know, some of these lesser competitors or competitors that perhaps don't think they're at the FedEx level, whether it's because of a pro qualifier or whatever, generally don't compete. So you get a lot of people competing and a lot of really good quality there. So I think it's really going to be kind of a prestigious show, like, going forward as well. But I mean, speaking about, obviously, you said, saying guys and stuff that you're competing against and stuff are adding you on Facebook and that. Now, do you think about this at all? Do you have a look at these guys and you think, okay, I'm competing against him, and do you think about that? Or are you kind of just, I mean, most guys say, I'm just focusing on myself, that's all I can do. But does it ever kind of creep into your mind?
You know, like, when I first started competing, and, you know, I did everything myself the first year, and, you know, kind of like, I guess it's like pre-stage jitters before you actually do get on stage and go through the entire process. Yeah, of course, you know, you see somebody that, you know, you're going to be up against, and, you know, he's a freak or something like that, kind of, you know, puts a little bit of fear into you, or, you know, you think, fuck, you know, sorry, you have no chance or whatever like that. But yeah, no, I learned quite quickly that you can't change anything that anybody else is doing. You can't influence what they're going to look like. You can't influence how they're going to train. So there's absolutely zero reason to worry about what they're doing. Essentially, it's exactly what you just said. You can only focus on what you're going to bring in. And, you know, if you're giving your training, your diet, you know, your entire prep 100%, you're going to have the best chance against whoever you're going to be up against. It is interesting seeing people and, you know, new guys jump onto the scene that have obviously crazy potential. I've definitely seen a few guys within my division, within Aaron's, even like jumping into the pro qualifier and stuff, they're just, you know, they look crazy, they look really good, and some of them haven't even competed before. And so it's interesting, but again, you can't rack your brain over what they look like, or are they bigger than you, or are they going to be more conditioned. No, you can just only worry about yourself. You can't influence what they're doing.
Yeah, and one thing I say to a lot of competitors as well, especially young competitors and first-timers and second-timers even, I mean, I've been at shows where I've showed up and there's been 10 guys or 12 guys or whatever into my division, and you look at them collectively and you think, oh, that guy's conditioned, that guy's big, and you kind of look at them as a group and you say, okay, well, I'm going to come dead last. But when you actually, if you actually looked at each individual one and broke them down, and you go, okay, I've got better condition than him, or, you know, I'm slightly bigger than him, and you kind of can beat out these guys. But, you know, like, at one of my shows, I was very intimidated. It was a national contest, and I thought, I'm going to come dead last. I ended up coming, I can't remember what it was, fourth or something like that out of 10. So it's something you can really psych yourself out. And if you don't have that confidence when you get on stage as well, and you don't pose like you've been practicing, that can actually really hurt you. And I've learned a lot, actually, from Amy Fox, and she taught me a lot about posing and confidence and all that kind of stuff. So that is something that can kind of do your head in, not just before the show, leading up to it when you're worrying about certain people. And I think I have to be a better condition because of this guy, or I have to be bigger because of this guy. But it can actually do your head in backstage even.
Oh, definitely. There's a huge mental aspect to bodybuilding, as, you know, any competitor would know. And the funny thing is, you know, the thoughts that go through your head backstage or my head backstage when I'm looking at the other competitors, I guarantee those same competitors are thinking the same thing. So everyone kind of, you know, everyone's feeling like that. And I think it's important to feel like that, because essentially it shows how much, you know, you really want to win, or it shows how much you care about your placing on stage. But once again, you just got to draw the line and understand that can't do anything about what someone else looks like. You just have to worry about yourself. And on that note as well, with opposing stuff, they're obviously really important extras that people forget about. A presentation on stage could mean the difference between winning and losing, definitely. I've seen so many shows where judges could barely tell two physiques apart just because they were so close in quality, and one was a definite better poser, or one presented themselves better, and, you know, that kind of allowed for the extra points to win. So I think everything adds up in that regard as well.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen guys that don't spread their lats properly, and it's like, you know, you train back so hard and you're losing an inch off each side or something, and it's just, it's such a big aspect of the whole thing. I mean, if I go in the mirror and deliberately pose like crap, then I look like crap. So now, we mentioned about Chris Thomas and Luke Manelli and stuff, their knowledge base and stuff earlier. But Mick actually gave you a good rap later on in the show, and he's saying, you know, you research a lot of things, and he said you get really in depth with the whole, you know, like just reading and reading and learning and learning. Have you always been like this since you got into bodybuilding?
Yeah, I think I've been like that with absolutely anything that I've like have a passion for. Obviously, bodybuilding has been, you know, at the forefront as far as my goals and what I love doing within the last 3 to 5 years. And yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm kind of OCD and stuff like that as well. So I'm always trying to keep myself up to date with current literature within, you know, the bodybuilding world. So it's normally a mixture of just reading up to date stuff. And also as well, what's very important is people forget, you know, a huge aspect of this sport is experience. And that's why it's important to contact or, you know, talk to the right people, because you can always learn more. Like there's guys that have been in the sport for 20, 30 years and they're still learning. That's what I think is one of the most amazing things about bodybuilding, is everything is continually changing within science and supplementation and dietary approaches and things like that. And you'll always have the basics and, you know, the key principles to dieting or gaining muscular size or whatever, but you can always learn. And I feel like if you're somebody that wants a long-term position in the sport, or you have a long-term goal, it's only going to benefit you, you know, trying new things, incorporating up-to-date research, and yeah, just, you know, learning as much as you can continuously.
Yeah, for sure. Now, like for me, I personally, I'll listen to podcasts and things like that, and learn from guys like Ben Pakulski. There's another one which is kind of health/performance guy called Carl Lenore. There's a few other ones as well. Who's the main guy you kind of, is there one? Like, do you learn off certain people, or do you just kind of like learn collectively from studies and things?
Yeah, I'd definitely say I'm more of a collective learner. There's definitely a few guys out there that are pretty influential, I think, for everybody. I mean, even Ben Pakulski, I went through a big phase watching a lot of his MIT or M1T videos, and Charles Poliquin as well. I know he doesn't get the best rap from a lot of people, but specifically in terms of his training methods, you know, if you've ever seen some of his ideas behind training and stuff like that, it's quite interesting, and you can learn a lot. I mean, back in the day as well, as in maybe like a year or so ago, I was reading a lot about Lane Norton stuff as well, just because, you know, he always had a lot of science and literature behind his work, and, you know, a lot of the time he just spoke about the principles and accentuating the principles. I just pick up bits and pieces from here and there, and, you know, there might be like a flavor of the month guru that everyone listens to every now and then, but it's more so what I'm trying to learn at the time, I guess, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of conflicting research and stuff out there. How do you decipher that? Do you just use critical thinking and what makes sense to you the most?
You know what? I think that's an important point. It's people forget that whatever studies, whatever methods there are out there, every single thing in this sport needs to be individualized. Like, there's no one template for training, and there's no one template for nutrition that is going to be 100% optimal for everybody. There's always key principles within, you know, dietary changes and training principles that are, you know, they're always paramount, like the ones that everybody knows, and they're kind of the basis for everything. But, you know, especially, like, I guess training is one of the biggest ones. I mean, obviously, you would also hear about, you know, all the debating that goes on with nutrition and, you know, the whole fits your macros and, you know, paleo and keto this, and, you know, everyone's always arguing about that sort of stuff. But, yeah, training especially, I mean, one of the number one questions you get asked in the gym, I think, from guys getting into the training or whatever is, you know, or what rep ranges or how many times a week do I train, frequency, all that sort of stuff. And I just, you know, I'm not a person that discriminates against, you know, only doing this or only doing that. Like, I'm not someone that will say, even though I love my heavy lifting, I won't say, nah, heavy lifting is, you know, the only way you go about training, because I don't think that's true. There's, you know, multiple ways to induce muscular hypertrophy and growth, and I think it's pretty narrow-minded to, you know, focus on one particular thing rather than incorporate everything, you know, or vary kind of everything over time.
Yeah, definitely. And I've heard even a lot of top experts and stuff, and I heard some people saying you have a difference between powerlifters and, or one of the differences between powerlifters and bodybuilders is the fact that bodybuilders will incorporate the high rep ranges and activate the slow twitch muscle fibers, which, you know, are, you know, generally don't have as much growth potential, but they still can grow, and that's why maybe they're a little bit extra bigger. But there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of different rep tempos, rep ranges, all that type of stuff that you can change with your training. And I think it's great that you don't just because there's a lot of guys out there. Let's face it, there's a lot of guys out there that will just advocate their method, and it's their method or nothing, which, yeah, you know, then you'll listen to another expert and they'll have a totally different spin on it, and they're both tremendous athletes, and it kind of leaves a lot of people wondering, like, well, what do I do? Like, do I pick one or the other, or do I do both? And it's a lot of time, it's somewhere in the middle. You can take a little bit from both and whatever works best and makes sense to you. So I like that you don't just advocate your methods, so that's good. But, Sonny, we're coming to the end of the interview. Do you have anyone out there you want to thank?
Well, I guess I thank you boys again for having me on the show. I'm always glad to be on the show, always glad listening to the show as well. Michael, again, for the kind words, I guess. We spent all Sunday together prior to my refeed and stuff, and, yeah, he gave me a rap in person as well, which was quite humbling. I guess, yeah, just a shout-out to my sponsors, Naked Meals and Mass Nutrition, keeping me on track with my prep as usual. Coach Chris Thomas, and yeah, I guess that's it, really.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before I give you the little outro, how do you pronounce your last name? Sonny Rankmuth or Rankmuth?
Rankmuth.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All right. Well, that's Sonny Rankmuth, future IFBB bodybuilding star.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores.
paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermal Burn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Michael Galley, and we're here to wrap up the show. Now, Mick, how's your week been this week, mate?
Maybe another good week, mate. Just enjoying the awesome weather we've had up here. That said, it's about to rain now, but brilliant weather, and as usual, I have my Sunday off for the boys. It's pretty much the only time we get to catch up with each other now is on the Sundays, and it's normally me, Logan, Craig, and Luke Smith, and we normally go down to Berlin, have brekkie, and then hit the beach for a while, but I'll run into this first, if you don't mind, Dave. Big Sonny came and joined us. Now, you can pronounce his... You know, he's one of my good mates. You can pronounce his surname, Sonny...
I think it's Sonny Ramkamau.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not an easy one. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Now, he's rocked up and joined us for the first time in ages at the beach. And let me tell you, Dave, and I inboxed Tony Doherty this morning. whether or not he wins or not in the under 90 class, I'll put it on the line now. I fully believe that Sonny is going to be one of the most talked about guys at this comp, as far as all the weight classes goes, and the one that people are going to say, this guy has got a massive future. I was so impressed, mate. Chris Thomas is doing, from the mass facility on the Goldie, has been doing his prep, and it's totally different to what Sonny's been used to in the past, but it's working so well with him, mate. His waist is so tight. I think he's sitting at 7.5% body fat now at 12 weeks out. He's not lacking a muscle group, and we all know his legs are outstanding, but, mate, I was generally impressed, and let me tell you, Logan is as big as you've ever seen. He's 120 at the moment. Luke Smith's dieting looks unreal. Sonny's dieting look unreal. I felt a little bit left out of the beach, I won't lie to you.
Did you? Was you a little bit upset that you weren't dieting?
Well, I'm a little bit pudgy.
A little bit. Are you dieting down now for your
Yeah, I am, but not obviously these guys have been going a little bit harder and longer than me, so very, very impressive, Xavier. Mark my words, this kid is going to shock some people.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Sonny. I've seen pictures of him before when he's competed, but he looks like he's packed on a lot more size, and he just looks like he's going to be impressive on stage. So
yes,
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, massively, mate. I can't wait. But apart from that, awesome week. How was yours?
Oh, mate, my week was a bit up and down, but it's been insanely hot over here in Perth. I don't know why, but the past 4 days, I think it might have all been over 40 degrees. So it's been absolutely ridiculous over here, but. Yeah, it's been a pretty quiet one, so not too much has been happening. But Mick, there's a big bit of news we kind of just found out just before recording the show. Now, this hasn't been 110% confirmed, but I guess you can kind of confirm it, because it was on a reputable website. It was on a news website, an Orlando news website, and it places Nicole Negreanu, who, for those who don't know, she won the first ever Bikini Olympia. And she's actually up on, a vehicular homicide charge. She actually, the whole story goes, basically, she was driving along and, her phone fell on the ground and she was retrieving her phone from the ground. And she actually ended up hitting someone and killing him, a 78-year-old woman. And Mick, this is pretty big news. Initially you thought Nicole Negreanu got killed, but we found out that she, obviously unintentionally killed someone else.
Yeah, it's huge news. So, like you said, we both just stumbled across it. I'm surprised this hasn't been, a lot more people don't know about it. Or, it's not all over the bodybuilding websites. So, very interesting. And I can't believe. What did she get?
She got a very minor fine. It was said that obviously the daughter of a woman said of the ticket that she got was insufficient, and Nicole Negreanu should have got some jail time. But I think she's got to go back in court. It said in November, so that's obviously passed now, unless it means next November. I don't know how old the article is, but it actually happened in April. So I don't know if that's the reason why Nicole Negreanu didn't choose to compete and do the Olympia. I know she was doing a degree in college and stuff, so she said she was very busy and that was a reason. But you got to wonder if this was kind of, a reason for her not getting up on stage again this year, because she did win that first Olympia, I think, at 19 years old, and she's only, 21 now, so.
I still can't believe she got off that fine. So basically, number one, you're not allowed to be on your phone to start with. But two, if you're actually on your phone, you drop it and you're trying to find it and you kill someone, how does that work here get off?
Yeah, well, it says Negreanu's attorney, Tim Herring, drove to the accident site and told police that Negreanu was not using her cellular phone at the time of the crash, but the phone had fallen and she was attempting to retrieve it. But
In other words, his lawyer's covering it all up.
Yeah, most likely.
He's like the Lionel Hutz of lawyers.
But yeah, that's very interesting news. Obviously, we haven't got any big confirmation on this, but it was on a very reputable website. So it's very interesting. It's only just coming out now. So it'll be. I've seen on Nicole Negreanu's Instagram page, but she's still posting photos and stuff like that with her friends and all that. So, obviously, it wasn't intentional or anything, but it is a very serious thing, obviously, because it did lead to the death of someone. So, anyway, Mick, we'll move on. We had another bit of sad news during the week. Derek Anthony, he, for those who don't know, he's like a, what would you call him, like a bodybuilding internet sensation, or?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. He started off more as a groupie back in the day, and then he got on board with, he actually did have a lot of friends in the pro ranks, and I don't know, I guess he was just one of those guys, probably always wanted to be a pro, but never had exactly, everything that it took to become one, and he always managed to stay in the news, he was always there, always posting stuff, very controversial, with what he said and what he posted, even pictures and stuff like that. But I guess there was a certain amount of people that liked him and a certain amount of people that hated him.
Yeah, it was a love-hate type relationship with everyone with Derek. But he was a big part of RX Muscle for a while. He had the Derek Anthony Show hosted on RX, and I think Dave and him had a little bit of a falling out, but they all made up, and Derek was, you know, back posting on the RX forums every now and then, and they was actually looking to do some stuff together. But obviously Derek got sick, and he had kidney failure. He actually ended up, I think his actual reason for death now was from cancer, and he's having chemotherapy. So obviously his health wasn't at a good stage, and I think most people, you know, he didn't really know. I mean, people knew he was on dialysis for quite a while, but I think he ended up getting a kidney transplant, I'm pretty sure, and that was okay. But yeah, obviously, you know, he's having chemotherapy and stuff, which probably a lot of people didn't know. So it's obviously sad that he passed away, but he was, he really did know how to make himself popular in the bodybuilding industry without being, you know, a top competitor.
Oh, yeah, mate, he definitely put it out. And I mean, I've seen Derek since he burst on the scene, and, you know, he was putting himself all out there. And then he slowly but surely got into a lot of, you know, the synthol abuse and stuff like that. And, I mean, you would have seen photos of him lately. He was still clearly abusing synthol. And you've got to ask the question, like, with everything else going on in his life and stuff, it was just sad to see it unfold on, especially, obviously, it was Get Big that it was played out on. It was just sad to see something like that what happened before your eyes. I mean, it was almost like he just didn't really care, I guess. He just kept pushing the boundaries right up to the end.
Yeah, it's very strange to kind of see that and try to understand it. But, yeah, it's obviously very sad, and everyone at RX obviously sends their condolences to Derek and his family. But, yeah. Mick, we've been doing this segment. We're doing the, what is it? It's not the most controversial now. It's the most...
Most talked about Olympians of all time, but I guess... The one we're going to touch on now is the 1980 Mr. Olympia. Which is by far the most controversial pro show of probably all time, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say it probably is. I mean, especially if that was that Arnold Schwarzenegger comeback. He came back after, how many years off was it, Mick? It was about 4 years, wasn't it?
He retired in 1995, was his last victory.
I wouldn't say it was 95.
Oh, maybe. Geez, that was bad. Oh, wow. 1975 was his last victory against Serge Nabre and Lou Ferrigno. They were the two other guys in his division.
Yeah, and this was the first year... For people who don't know, there used to be two, obviously, weight divisions. There was an under 200 pounds, I believe it was, and over 200 pounds. And this was the first year they kind of did away with that and just did it basically all one big open class like we have. Oh, we don't have that today, really. We have the 212s now. But, yeah, so it was just all one big open class, and we had Arnold coming back. And it wasn't a popular thing for Arnold to come back at this show. I mean, he showed up with no announcement that he was going to be there, and it pissed off a lot of these guys at the athletes' meeting, I understand.
It did, mate, and as it stands now, obviously you can't just do a comp at a day's notice. It just doesn't happen these days. But back then, I mean, you got to start thinking too how much is true and how much isn't, because you know what, Arnold's a bit of a prankster and stuff like that, but he said he had it firmly planned in his mind at 8 weeks out that he was going to do it, and probably only the few guys that knew would have been his wife Maria and probably Franco at the time. But to everyone else, and obviously if you're, you know, like changes would have been made in his body, he would have been getting bigger, he would have been getting leaner. Obviously people are going to ask the question, you know, are you competing? So for Arnold back then, he just kept with the story that he was getting ready for one of his biggest movies to date, which was Conan the Barbarian, saying, you know, he needs to be in condition, needs to be in shape. They're going to start shooting a little bit early. So he had that story all the way up until the show. And the reason he went to the Olympia anyway was because he was going to be commentating for the Olympia. So right up until even the plane trip over, everyone just probably presumed he was going there to do that. And then when he got there, he's thrown his hat into the ring, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of the time when you hear about this, you hear about the guys that are upset. You hear about Mike Menzer, who was very upset. You hear about Frank Zane, but was upset. But you rarely hear about Chris Dickerson, and he was actually the second place finisher here. So if anything, you'd think this dude would be the one that was the most upset. But it didn't seem to be that way. I mean, people kind of forget Chris was second at this show.
Yeah, and actually Chris had a very, very complete physique, and he did go on to win the 1982 Mr. Olympia. There are rumours. Now, this is, I mean, again, this is because it's so long ago, you're only hearing, you know, hearsay and stuff like that, but apparently after he did get second place and walked off stage, he was having a little bit of a sook backstage saying, I can't believe it, etc. Whether or not that's true or not, I'm not too sure. It's just stuff I've dug up myself. But, yeah, Chris did come in second, and then in third you had Frank Zane, which was the current Mr. Olympia, and he'd actually won it 1977, 78, 79. Now, Frank was one of the couple. I think Frank and Mike Menzies are probably the two that were the most upset with this comp. Now, do you know what happened when Arnold... I'm pretty sure this was the 1979 Olympia. Do you know what happened when Arnold presented the award to Frank?
Even 79? No. Yeah.
Well, Arnold... Now, this is all true. Arnold's gone on record as saying this, and so was Frank, that Arnold asked him, how do you feel about your third victory? And Frank sat there and he goes, Arnold, it's almost as good as the first time I beat you. Now, you know how Arnold... Now, Arnold would have hated that, and he said that many times, and that was part of his vengeance for 1980.
Really? Well, I bet Frank Zane probably wishes he didn't say that now.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you obviously know about Frank's mishap. What was it, 4 weeks out or 5 weeks out from the comp?
I haven't heard about that, no.
Okay, he was sunning by his pool and the chair had broken or something like that. Now, oh, man, honestly, I can't remember what had happened to him, but he needed major surgery. He cut some sort of, somewhere on his body, was pretty severe cut. That's why he came in. I mean, his condition was there, but he came in very undersized compared to what he used to be. So, yeah, that was... I mean, fuck, I should have looked into that a little bit more. But, yeah, he did suffer a pretty bad injury 4 or 5 weeks out.
Yeah. Now, Boy Oko finishes in fourth. I mean, he's always known for his arms. Everyone goes on about Boy Oko's arms. What do you think about Boy Oko's physique, though? Did you think he was, like, the deserving guy in that fourth place?
Mate, Boy's got a pretty freaky physique when you look at him. His arms, he's got those freaky split biceps, awesome chest and stuff like that, especially for a guy back in this day. The only knock on Boyer was his ab development. It was non-existent. And to this day, I've never seen anyone like that with that look. Pure genetic thing, nothing he could do about it. And he even said he trained abs day in, day out, all the time. Have you noticed that there is nothing on his stomach at all?
I haven't really noticed that, but I have kind of noticed that he does have something kind of a little bit funky about his physique. Like,
yeah, it's not put together perfectly, you know, structurally and symmetry-wise and stuff like that, but he obviously had standout body parts. Fourth, man, I still have a problem with Frank in third. I would have pushed him down a little bit further than that as well, and maybe slotted Boyer up a bit higher.
Yep. Now, in fifth place, Mike Menzies, he was obviously upset and disappointed about this. And you hear a lot of stories about this result and what happened and Arnold's comeback and stuff. Had a massive, massive impact on him, like, you know, emotionally in his personal and professional life. And he never, I don't think he ever competed again as a pro, did he?
That was it. He was done after that. And Mike, I mean, he came up with the training system that Doran was a massive fan of.
The heavy duty stuff.
The heavy duty, yeah. And later on, you'll see in Doran's, the start of his career, you'll see him training a little bit with Mike, and Mike, you know, teaching him more how the system works. But Mike was a funny guy, and very much a loner in that sport. You know, took a lot of things on himself. And he actually passed away, I can't even remember when it was. It might have been the 90s somewhere. And his brother actually passed away a couple of days after him, straight away. Like, it was just weird how they both passed away very much at the same time.
I remember hearing that, yeah.
Yeah, but Mike was very pissed off with Arnold competing. And I know they had words backstage in the pump-up room quite a few times, and Mike was saying a few things, and Arnold was going back at him in Arnold's, you know, charismatic way. Just, you know, Arnold's like Scotty. You don't want to get in a verbal argument with Scotty because you know you're not going to win. You just, even if you've got a better physique, you just know you're not going to win in a verbal argument with him. So you just give in.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's actually quite funny. Boyer Coe and Mike Menzies actually tied on 280 points. And back then, the way they added it up, it was actually who got the most points.
Yeah, like, high score wins, yeah.
Yeah, unlike today where it's actually, you know, the other way around. But we had a tie there for fourth and fifth, and obviously Boyer Coe beat Mike on a countback. In sixth and seventh, we had a tie between Roger Walker and Roy Callender. Now, Roger was the lone Australian in the contest. What do you think about Roger? I mean, he's going to be pretty happy getting a top six in Olympia in his own country.
In the Open, yeah. I actually, I preferred Roger's earlier look. and I'm not sure my age here because I'm just going on videos I've watched and stuff like that. But in the only a couple of times I've watched, but in the 75 Olympia, he got third in the under 200 pound class where Franco Colombo had won, and Ian Cordy, Arnold's training partner, got second. I actually preferred that look then. He's quite a thickly muscled guy. I thought by 1980 his waist had thickened out a fair bit, but still for him to play six. And this is quite a solid lineup. Like, a lot of these guys are all-time great bodybuilders. Six is a pretty good outing.
Yeah, definitely. And Roy Callender in seventh. What do you think about Roy?
Roy's got a freak. He went on in the years a bit later. I think he won a couple of pro shows, but he had a very, very lean, hard physique. I know he had... I'm just trying to think of his training methods. His training methods were out of control. Like, I'm pretty sure he trained hours and hours at a time, set after set, set after set. And it worked perfectly for him. I mean, he had a very ahead of his time physique as far as hardness goes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he when I look at it through his pictures, I look through heaps of his pictures, he seems to have, like, he had a lot of different looks, whether it's, you know, pictures from when he first turned pro or pictures later in his career. But he seemed like, you know, in a lot of his pictures, he seemed to always kind of look a little bit different. So I don't know if that's just the pictures I'm looking at or if that's actually the truth. But, yeah, he's got a good physique. I mean, he's pretty freaky in a lot of shots. But Dennis Torino, we had in eighth. He actually beat out a lot of good guys. He beat out Tom Platts, Danny Padilla, Ed Corney, Casey Viedo, Samir Banu, who was down in second last. I mean, there's a lot of guys that, you know, he beat a lot of really, really good guys. What do you think about Dennis?
Well, do you know he actually beat Arnold?
Did he really?
Have you done any research here?
Oh, he didn't beat Arnold this comp.
No, well, of course not. No, he actually beat Arnold in the 1960, one of the late 60s, where Arnold was still an amateur, the Universe or the World, and he beat Dennis Bedding there. And I remember because I was reading the the biography by Arnold, Educational Bodybuilder.
Yep.
Which is a great read. Anyone who loves bodybuilding would love this story about Arnold. It pretty much takes him from the start of his career, his early years as well, start of his career up until 1975 Olympia. But yeah, Dennis beat him, and Arnold was obviously back then, he was young and just big and bulky, and he still remembers Dennis's abs and stuff like that. And after that, he made a conscious effort to hit his abs a lot more than what he does or was doing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Tom Platts, he's like, everyone knows him for his legs. He's actually one of them, probably the most well-known guys actually in this show today. Like, you know, you hear him talked a lot about just because of his legs. I mean, he probably wasn't his best here, and that's probably why he got ninth. But he did look very good to me. He looked like he could have been even a little bit higher.
I thought he did look good, but this is where Platts was just starting to come on strong, remember? And it wasn't until the year later, 81, where he pulled out all the stops and looked. He was probably a solid pick for first in 1981. He looked that good. And I was talking to you before we started recording this. There was a DVD, a video done on the 1980 Olympia called Total Rebuild that... highlighted a lot of the bodybuilders at the time, Arnold obviously, but Tom Platts is one of them coming into the show. And I still remember how intense Tom was. And at the end, after the comp was all done, they did this filming in this old gym in Sydney with Tom doing a bit of extensions and some side laterals. And it was just intense, Xavier. Like, I'm pretty sure it was the day after. And in his mind, this was the first day of the prep for the next Olympia. That's how serious he was back then. I guess it shows with the 1981 Olympia, he was miles, miles different than 1980. So I think, this was just the start of Platts coming on strong.
Yeah, and one guy that wouldn't have liked the new open class is Danny Padilla, because he was one of the original giant killers. He was just like, he looked like he was ahead of his time in terms of his physique. Not many guys like that were really packing that kind of, you know, muscle on such a short frame and just holding it so well.
Yeah.
What do you think of Danny? I mean, I loved his physique, and he's kind of got a real kind of, I don't know, just an awesome... He looks like he's almost in the transition phase between the old-school bodybuilder and the, you know, the modern-day guy.
Yeah, I loved his physique too, mate. No real lagging body parts, small little waist. Again, this was almost him coming on strong too. He looked amazing again the year after in 81. Like, we're talking absolutely peeled. I've never seen a guy's face so sucked in all my life. Find a photo of 81 Olympia. Have a look at Danny's face. It's freaking out of control. Now, I remember when I was just getting into it, and I was always going through the old magazines and that, and I took a liking to Danny's physique. And funnily enough, he made a comeback right about when I'd started training. and he did the Night of Champions the year, oh man, my memory escapes me. I'm pretty sure it was the first year Doran did it, which was 1990 or 91, but he made his comeback then. Really successful comeback. I think he got second in a few of the smaller pro shows. And then he went on to the WBF. Do you remember the WBF that started for 2 years by Vince McMahon?
Yep.
Yeah, and he went to there for a couple of years, and then that was it. After that, he was out of the picture. But he did make a pretty strong comeback in the early 90s.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I want to quickly just jump down and mention Ken Waller, who was in 16th. He was obviously in the Pumping Iron movies.
Yes.
What do you think about Ken as a pro?
Oh, I never rated Ken. I didn't see the fuss in him. I guess he wasn't really up against too many people. He won in Pumping Iron. He won the Amateur Universe against that famous story of Mike Katz, where apparently Ken took his shirt, which we all know is bullshit now when they did the 20-year remake of Pumping Iron and the outtakes. I don't know, man. I never rated his physique. I didn't like him. While we're looking at that too, in 15th was Samir Badook. Samir went on to win the Olympia in 83.
Yeah, it's amazing that he went from... Like, I remember talking, like, because my dad actually started out, you know, doing bodybuilding. And I remember talking to my dad about it, and he said, you know, Samir never really nailed it until he won the Olympia. And that was his 1 year where he really did nail it. And yep. He had a lot of times around that, you know, before and after, where he just didn't nail his condition.
Yeah, he 83 was sensational. That's still got a rank as one of the best all-time looks of all time, I think. Mainly, not overly, you know, not humongous, but so well put together and so conditioned. Like, his triceps and lower back were so conditioned for back then, it wasn't funny. And you're right, before then or after then, he never really nailed it again. And I think he came back in 84 and placed very, very bad for a Mr. Olympia. And then he got banned for a few years and then finally made a comeback in, I think it might have been 88, and just didn't, was always around the 7th, 8th mark for a couple of years in the Olympia, and then slowly, you know, went down from there.
Yeah, and he was one of the, I think, did he get banned because he went to another federation, or what did he do there?
I think that might have been it. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that was the reasoning.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, it's kind of funny that, you know, like Frank Zane, obviously, he got that injury and he came, you know, he obviously was coming back and, you know, hoping to get his fourth title and didn't look what way he wanted to look. And he was, I think he was about 10 pounds down from what I read. But, I mean, had this, you know, had Frank not got injured, do you think he could have won? Do you think he would have beaten Arnold?
It would have been interesting to see if he had that extra 10 pounds and kept that trademark condition. But it's a tough, like, we spoke about this again, Zay, before we recorded. And whether or not it's because we're all... Arnold's been such a big influence in pretty much every bodybuilder's journey. I mean, I know it's a controversial win, but there's a part of you that just wants to believe that he won it and he killed it, and you know, no one else come close to him. And yeah, you got to break it all down. I guess he did have some outstanding body parts, but then he really lagged. By this stage, a lot of these bodybuilders were getting very complete. You know, they had very good hammies, they had very good quads, awesome backs. You know, like the game had really lifted, but. I mean, he used every trick in his book, Arnold. He was posing with charisma. He was doing cheeky poses in between poses, everything like that. So, yeah, oh, man, it's a tough one, isn't it? Like, yeah, I still, oh, man, I guess I'm just being biased. Like, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, like, do you think it would have changed much the way Arnold was perceived if he came back and he didn't win, if he placed, like, fifth or something, or do you think it still...
I don't think it would have, but maybe back then it probably played a lot in his mind, the judge's mind, the promoter's mind, in the outcome of things. It's like anything. Like, mate, Ronnie won the Olympia 8 times, came back the year later, got fourth, still guest poses now, way down how he was, but it doesn't have any impact on his... He's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's true. I think everyone kind of thinks, oh, it will tarnish your record if you come back, and people say that about Jay and all that stuff. I don't think Jay's tarnished his four Olympias at all.
I don't believe that at all. And let's switch sports totally. I mean, the World Surfing Series just finished with Mick Fanning winning, and Kelly Slater was in there. Kelly's an 11-time world champion, but he still goes in year after year, mate. He got second. That hasn't, by placing second, that didn't tarnish his record at all. He's 11-time world champ. That's never going to change.
Yeah, and I think once you win that, and I like what Dexter does. Dexter won it once, and you know, a lot of people would probably go, oh, well, I can't win it again, I'm not getting any better, or whatever, yeah. And they probably wouldn't compete again. But Dexter's like, well, I'm doing what I love, I'm earning money, yeah. I'm a Mr. Olympia, and no one can ever take that away, and yeah. He keeps competing, and I love that.
Yeah, mate, Dexter, I reckon Dexter's got a good couple of years left in him, eh? I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I reckon
it's such a great thing to watch his career, how it's been. You know, he's won everything, the Arnold, the Olympia, New York Pro, all these, the Ironman, you name it, he's won it. The Australian Pro.
Yeah, I was actually looking at because I was looking for a bit of bodybuilding news because there's not a huge amount going on this week. And I was looking to see if there was an Arnold Classic list out or if there's any, invitee list or anything like that. And I couldn't find anything. But I looked at the Arnold Classic, previous winners. And, Dexter went through a stage where he won 3 out of 4 Arnolds. And then he had a big break. Like, he didn't win one until, this last year.
Yeah.
He had, I don't know how many years it was, if it was 5 or 6 or what it was. But it was quite a few years where he didn't win an Arnold there, but he was probably competing every year, so...
Yeah, I guess it's tough, mate, at that level now too, though. It's and Dexter's never going to be a mass monster. So you got guys that were doing the Arnold that were, they were big boys. So
yeah, like we had Kai win a few years in a row. We had Branch win a few years in a row. I don't know if there's another one in there that someone else, Victor won. Yeah. There's 5 years there where Dexter just didn't win. So it was obviously he just sticks at it and comes back, and then he won this year, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm getting back to the comp. I just want to mention that, these guys were not happy. They were not happy at the athletes meeting, where, everyone kind of cracked it with Arnold and stuff and no one was happy. But backstage, Frank Zane, he threw his trophy and smashed it into a wall. Mike Menza and Boyer Coe, they left their trophies behind. And apparently they said they'd never come back to Australia. And I don't think that was just bodybuilding related. I think that was just general because I was so soured by it all. So. Yeah. Guys back then, I think now, as much as there are egos in the sport and there's guys that get pissed off and stuff like that, I think back then it was a lot, these guys were a lot more intense in terms of, the competition and stuff like that. These guys were genuinely got pissed off. They were genuinely angry at people. And, we do hear of it happening now every now and then, but I think everyone tries to be much more politically correct and buddy-buddy and stuff like that now. But back then it was just kind of all out war,
Mate, what I find funny is the competitors that chose to boycott the 81 Olympia, Frank Zane, Boyer Coe, Mike Menza, and Ken Waller. Ken Waller got last. Why the fuck is he boycotting?
He probably thought he deserved to make 14.
Shouldn't he be thinking, well, hang on, everyone else is boycotting. Fuck it, I'm going in. I'm coming in. I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
Ken. Oh, dear.
Yeah, anyway. It's very interesting, but I don't think them boycotting the show did anything. I don't know what I was hoping to achieve then.
Yeah, more I knew the 81 was a pretty full-on controversial Olympia as well, with Franco winning, which probably soured a few other people. But again, the Olympia after that, 82, everyone was back up there again. So, I don't know. If you've got a chance to compete, do it, man. Nothing lasts forever. You might as well do it as many times as you can.
Yeah, and obviously, if we didn't mention, this was actually in the Sydney Opera House, which is pretty crazy to think. But we had an Olympia here. I just love the idea of that, and it was just, obviously, it was controversial, but it was such a big and historic Olympia.
Yeah.
But it was Arnold's comeback, and Arnold was already, he's in movies by then, and it's a cool story. I just like it,
Yeah. Some of those photos of Arnold taken outside the Opera House are just magic.
Yeah.
It's really good to see those sort of things. And Zaves, obviously you would have watched Pumping Iron, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course, I've got it.
I'll tell you a little funny story. Is when I was this is before I even started bodybuilding. Like before, I was always playing footy, and Dad brought home Pumping Iron one day. God, I don't know why, he never trained, and we're sitting there watching it. And I remember him. Do you remember where he's got his shirt off and he's doing concentration curls, and he goes on about the pump is better than the same or better than coming.
Yeah, I remember that.
This is how young I was at the time. I remember turning to Dad and goes, "What does he mean, Dad?" And Dad just didn't say a word. He just kept watching the telly. And I went, "Dad, what does he mean?" And he just ignored me like nothing. And I went, in my head, I'm thinking, "Oh, fair enough, you grumpy bastard." And obviously, probably wasn't too much long after that, I worked out what it was.
Oh, that's funny.
That's how young I was when I first watched it. I would have been a baby.
Yeah, I was young too. I wasn't that young though. I think I understood that from the get go, and I was quite. I remember I was actually quite young. I remember hearing that and thinking, really?
Yeah.
I think, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe it is better.
Oh, dear.
And then, obviously, Arnold, I remember on the 25th or 20th anniversary DVD, which is the one I have, they've got the outtake bits on there, and Arnold said, no, it's not better. So I found that good.
Yeah, that was quite funny watching that new anniversary run, because there was a lot of things, and same with his death of his, his dad or something like that, who didn't go to the funeral, his mum, you know, that was obviously staged as well. Hey, speaking of this, did you know that the night before this 1980 Olympia was the famous boxing heavyweight bout between Ali and Holmes?
Really?
And that's when Muhammad Ali was embarrassed by Holmes. And it's just sort of funny and ironic that the very next day, Arnold was going up, you know, like, it was very similar the way these two sort of things played out. You know, Ali was not at his peak anymore. You know, there was all these young, you know, obviously these young guys like Holmes coming up, lost his title. And it was just funny that the very next day, you know, it almost happened to Arnold as well.
That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, thank
Good
you.
Good fact, Mick. How did you dig that one up? Like...
Oh, Xavier, I'm a fucking encyclopedia of friggin' news sometimes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Hey, this is what got me on board with doing these things.
Exactly. But now, there's one more thing I want to mention before we wrap it up. Now, this was actually, this whole contest was filmed, I don't know if they just filmed a contest or if they filmed outside of a contest as well, maybe like, you know, the goings-on, the backstage stuff or whatever. But this is actually meant for, you know, like mainstream type TV, whether it was in the States or in Australia or where it was. But apparently it was said that, you know, that it was so controversial that they didn't want to film it because they thought it would just, you know, it wouldn't look good on the station. So, Mick, that's very interesting when I heard of that.
CBS, wasn't it? CBS Television.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, they filmed the whole everything, the comp, backstage footage, footage leading up to the comp. And, yeah, you're right, they decided not to air it. Yeah, that was it.
I'd love to see all that footage.
It would be good to watch, wouldn't it? Matt, surely someone like that, having all this footage at their disposal, would be thinking, we can make a lot of money out of this.
Especially now. I mean, with Arnold obviously being the star he is now. Like...
Yeah, I'd love to watch someone like that, mate. I love that stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, though.
Yeah. You never know. We might see it in 5 years or 10 years or something. It might come out.
Who knows? I've got a friend who works for CBS. I might give him a text.
Do you really?
Nah.
No, I didn't think so.
I had to get you once this episode.
Yeah, I know. Jesus. Well, I thought he was trying to get me with the Dakota Granny thing. I wasn't convinced.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm the boy who cried wolf sometimes. And you're like, shut up, you're lying. I'm like, no, Xavier, I'm not.
I thought when I was going to go and check it out that it was just not going to be there. And he's going to be like, got you. But anyway, Mick, we're moving on. Now... There's, you know, like we said, it wasn't a big week in terms of news and stuff, but there was a bit of good news for an Australian athlete. Calum von Moger, who we did a little Q&A with, a little interview on RX Muscle Australia, he actually got signed by MD. He's over in the States, and we said he's doing his thing. And while MD is obviously, you know, a rival site to RX, I mean, it's good news for him because he's going to get, hopefully they utilise him and use him well, and he's going to get more exposure from this. So that's obviously a good thing for Calum.
And didn't we work on 20% for us? Wasn't that?
Yeah. I think we're getting 20% of everything.
Yeah,
here,
yeah. So. That mate. When you think about it, now we saw a good little photo. I know I forwarded it to you with him and Lonnie at Muscle Beach. Now, Callum, he's obviously gone over there with a bit of an idea of what he was trying to achieve, and he stayed in excellent condition. Mate, to be signed with MD, and there's not a lot of guys that are signed with MD, and especially not a lot of amateurs signed with MD, so they've seen potential in him. Whether or not, and we spoke about this before, whether or not it's him turning pro or if it's him staying in the fitness, you had a lot of guys like Mike O'Hearn, there's one guy, he was always on the covers of Muscle Mag, can't think of his name right now. But
it's not Stan McQuay, is it?
No, Stan did really well as well, actually. You know, it was another guy, though. These guys made lots of money from just doing, you know, normal shoots and mags for training art, you know, like how to do certain exercises and stuff like that. But can you tell me, when was the last time we had an Australian athlete signed to MD?
Lee Priest. Yeah.
That's the only one. Name another one of our athletes that's been signed up by a top American magazine.
Can't think of one. No. I literally can't.
This is every bodybuilder, Australian bodybuilder's dream, to be signed up by an internationally well-known magazine like Muscle Development.
Yeah, and he's got to be pretty happy with it. And I think the big thing for him is not so much, you know, what money he might get out of it, because obviously it's US dollars, and obviously if he's going to be living in Australia, that obviously doesn't convert as well. But I think it's going to be something in terms of, you know, people are seeing him, people know his name, in a different market as well, not just in Australia. I mean, people are starting to know him in Australia, but if he starts to get better known in America, and all the stuff he's doing all these shoots over there and stuff like that, he's really pushing his name, which is massive. And all you need is for, you know, one you know, casting director or someone to see this and go, you know, he's got a good look, he'd suit this film or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he gets picked up, then for a movie or whatever, then I think he's got, actually, I think he had, what's it called? Not an interview, audition over there for a film. So
he's also doing some training for WWE.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
I can't keep counting the amount of guys I've told over the years. Okay, there's not a lot of top pros that train at Goldstream anymore, but there's a lot of promoters, John Lindsay being one. Lonnie Temper, he goes in there occasionally as well, plus a lot of scouts, a shitload of scouts are in there for movies, for commercials, things like that. For a lot of the guys, and Callum's done the right thing. He's gone, fuck it, I'm going over, I'm training there, I'm going to see what comes of it. It's just sort of the place you've got to go sometimes. Even if you just go for a month, it's not expensive. Everyone seems to think it's like a fortune to go there and stay. There's a few good hotels very close by that, you know, they've got the kitchen, stuff like that. And just go over there and just train. You know, make some contacts before you go over. Inbox these guys, get chatting with them, tell them you're coming over. I mean, yeah, until you go over there, you can't make a dent in things while you're in Australia.
Yeah, it's very hard. I mean, it's very hard to do that with anything, to make good relationships or good business relationships or whatever. I mean, it's hard to do, you know, online or over the phone, especially if it's on the other side of the country because, you know, time zones are all off.
Yeah. Do you remember a bodybuilder named David Ryler?
David Ryler. Was it an Australian guy? Or?
He was a very good...
Yes, I remember him. Blonde hair, yes. Marketable looking dude.
Yes.
Yep.
Extremely good looking guy, mate. Now, he was a good mate of mine. Now, this is going back probably mid-2000s, and he made that chance. He said, Mick, fuck it, I'm going over. He spent 6 months over. He lived mainly with Ed Connors and that. And back, Ed Connors was sort of, he looked after a lot. Jay Cutler was one he looked after as well.
He looked after heaps of people. He looked after Ben Pekulski. He looked after PJ Braun, heaps of guys.
Yeah, and he ended up getting a few good covers, one being Muscle Mag Development. He did Muscle and Fitness. He did quite a few shoots for them doing instructional training, you know, how to do certain exercises. But, he went. He gave it a good hard bash for 6 months and did reasonably well out of it. I'm sure he would have wanted to go a bit further, but he gave it his best shot, mate. And I'll never forget one day he rang me, and I'm pretty sure it was a grand final day. I'm pretty sure it was Roosters and Bulldogs a few years back. Actually, that might have been 2002. And he stayed in shape for that whole 6 months. Like, I'm talking ridiculous condition for 6 months. And when he rang me, he was almost broken. Like, he just could not sustain that look any longer. He'd just gone, you just pushed it that far. I'll never forget that phone call.
Wow. And obviously, a few bodybuilders out there would know exactly probably how he felt. I mean, obviously not doing it for that long, but, I mean, to stay in contest condition, it's not easy. I mean, you know, bodybuilders struggle to do it for 4 weeks, you know. They've been ready 4 weeks out and to maintain that. But to do it for 6 months, that's huge.
Frank Sepp, do you remember that name?
Frank Seppe?
Yeah, that's it. Yep. Yeah, there was him and Mike O'Hearn back in the day and Stan McRae. They were doing all the covers, those sort of fitness covers. They had the whole market. They pretty much had the whole market sewn up.
Yeah. They only really use a few guys, really. There's just this huge amount of guys that people think they use.
Yeah.
You know, they just get a little bit of a different look from each of them and they just, rotate them, basically.
Yeah. And, I see Mike every day. Mike's very, very close with my cousin's wife. I hope not that close. That's not good. But he's actually quite good friends with her and helped her out a little bit too when she competed. And he's in there pretty much every day in Gold's Venice. And but he's probably 40, 41 now too. Still looks like exactly like he did in his 20s. Still killing it over there. Still doing covers. Still just living the dream.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I mean, you want to talk about this, Mick. Sean Ray and Kevin Lebrun, they're over in Chile at the moment. And I think they're promoting Gear Nutrition, who's at, that's a big nutrition company that they both promote. But they're doing a muscle camp over there, as far as I know. Now, you were saying you were at Sean Ray's, was it his first muscle camp?
I think it might have been one of his first, yeah. Just touching on that, like, it's the most impressive I've seen Kevin look for years. Still not super, I still don't think there's any comeback, but there's been two photos now of Sean where he's got his sleeve pulled up and his arm's looking quite large. But yeah, I think it was 2003. Sean brought his camp out here, and he did one in Sydney at the old Gold's Gym, which is near Oxford Street, and another one in Melbourne. But I attended the Sydney one, and who was doing? I think there was Melvin Anthony, there was Milos, Sean Ray, Charles Duca, and the late Luke Wood jumped in as well. But it was just a good thing to be part of, mate. You know, like, there was a massive seminar. It went for 2 days. I mean, as far as the training side went, it didn't really help me out too much. you know, there's only so many times you can show someone how to do a bench, but it was just good to be around those sort of people and pick their brains on nutrition and things.
Yeah, exactly. And were these guys quite up front with their Ramenga, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those. You might see, like, guys talk about gear or stuff like that, and you could tell they didn't really want to go into detail about it, but I'm never one. I mean, what's the point in talking about gear or something to a pro? They're probably not going to tell you anyway, but then it's not going to really help me at the end of the day. I'd just rather know more about nutrition and training. And mate, I love talking to pros about just what they do outside the gym, you know, what interests they have. And some of them have got a lot of awesome interests. They're actually really, really cool to talk with.
Yeah, and it obviously depends on the pro and who it is. But it's very, I find it very interesting to get inside the minds of them and how they, you know, how they kind of work and stuff like that. And it's like anyone, like, you know, you want to sit down and talk to these people and find out about them, but it seems like basically everybody just wants to know what they're taking and what they're doing to get that big. So
touching on that, I remember a 2009 elite comp in Perth, and I went over and competed with Nick Jones in that. And the day after the comp, Mike O'Mara, and Mike puts on great shows and great after parties. The day after, he'd hired out a massive boat and took us out in the water all day long. Neil Gardner was over there, Craig Lucas, Vicky Reeve, Simon Parker. Mate, it was unreal. And the guest poser was Tony Freeman, and he came on the cruise with us. And I still remember sitting down below, and we were all having a drink, and man, every man and their dog just kept asking Tony about gear and what to use and how to take it. And I could see he was getting frustrated with all this talk, so I just started talking to Tony about fucking who he doesn't like in the industry, fucking who parties the hardest, just shit, stupid questions like that. And he loved it. He just sat up and started talking to me about it. You could just tell he didn't want to talk about gear. He didn't want to talk about bodybuilding. He just wanted to talk about normal stuff.
You imagine how much you'd get asked as well. It'd just be, you'd get frustrating. You'd feel like just punching somebody.
Yeah, and it's like, honestly, I got that red yesterday from the sun. Like, I'm talking, I never really get red at all. I'm beetroot red. Now, and you can imagine today, everyone I've bumped into, oh, fuck, aren't you red? Oh, were you in the sun yesterday?
Same thing happened to me last weekend.
It's like, what the fuck? So imagine that, and Tony Freeman gets the same about gear.
Yeah. But he gets it all the time.
All the time.
He's constantly got a sunburn. Like, yeah, the same thing happened to me last week. I got burnt, Mick, and I was very burnt on my face. And I got, you're a lobster. Gee, you're burnt. I went into a convenience store in there. They said, gee, you're burnt. I'm like, well, yep, you're not the 50th person that said it to me today.
And let me, hey, because you're dieting and 12 weeks out, did you notice, were you a little bit more angrier, normal?
It's surprising I wasn't. I was in a decent mood, but I did get a little frustrated with it. I was a little bit like, hey, you can go away now.
I want to see you angry.
I don't get angry much.
No, but I want to see you angry.
When I get angry, I tend to get reasonably angry. But
yeah. Oh, good.
I think for the most part, I'm quite happy.
Speaking of that.
Speaking of what, anger?
Yeah, funny facts about Gretchy.
Ah, yes, let's launch into it for this week's segment of funny facts about Gretchy.
Cue music now.
All right, Mick, so what is your funny fact about Gretchy this week?
Well, I've got a bundle of them now. Emma's fucking, she's dug deep with his sisters and stuff as well, and we've got some archive ones here, but do you remember the story I told you not long ago about how he always smelled his hand, which is pretty fucking weird.
Yeah, he smelled his hand all the time, yeah.
But it's weird. Well, when he was a kid, now Emma goes, she's not too sure if this was the same time frame as the smelling and the hand thing, but he used to be obsessed with having Band-Aids on his fingers.
Oh, dear.
And not just one, there'd be multiple Band-Aids on his fingers all at once. Now, there are photos to prove this, and I have asked for these photos to be sent to me via Facebook, and I will post them on the RX site.
Oh, nice.
The Facebook site, just to embarrass Gretchy that little bit more. I don't know why, and to be honest with you, I didn't ask why, because, I mean, really, Band-Aids on your fingers? Do other kids look at him in school and think he's like that little kid that's always sick or got cuts all over his hands from God knows what?
Do you know what I reckon it was? You know how Michael Jackson used to wear a glove back in the day?
No, he thinks he's Michael. He does think he can sing too.
Oh dear.
I'm just going on record now to say, Gretchy's the worst singer of all time.
Oh, of really?
Of all time.
Okay. I haven't heard it.
But this is weird. Now, let's hope he wasn't smelling his hand. Remember that's the smelling problem he had? Putting the Band-Aids on his hands, smelling hands with the Band-Aids on. That's not, you know, nah, that's not a cool. That's not, no, it's just, it's a little bit yuck. Anyway,
not a good look. And Michael Jackson, didn't he used to wear a cast as well?
I don't know. I just remember Michael Jackson with the one glove.
I think he used to wear a cast sometimes, really? Like he had his arm injured.
I'm going to start wearing an eye patch.
An eye patch?
Yeah, like a pirate.
Pirate Galley.
Do you remember that Seinfeld episode where Kramer had an eye patch?
I remember it very well, yes.
Fuck, that was so funny. Speaking of Seinfeld, cue music now. Did you know I got an inbox, Xavier, from a guy that listens to our show and all he loves listening to? Now, you've got the awesome information from Scotty and Matt Legg and our great interviews of the week, but you know what he looks forward to the most?
Funny facts about Gretchy or...
When I say, cue music now.
Oh, I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
Now, for any new listeners or someone who doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about, it's from an episode of Seinfeld. Xavier and I love Seinfeld. It just fits in perfectly, so deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I love Seinfeld. I'm obsessed with it, so...
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't watched Seinfeld, I encourage anyone to actually go out there and watch some. Download an episode or something.
Like, get on board. That's the one best good thing of now that I've got Foxtel. I can watch my reruns of Seinfeld.
Yeah. And you need to watch a couple... If you're younger as well, you need to watch a couple of episodes to just... Yep.
Do you know that finished in 1998?
Yep. It ran for... What was it? How many seasons was it? Was it nine?
Eight or nine seasons. Man, yeah, time flies. I still remember sitting there for the last episode... Because they did a you know, behind-the-scenes thing as well for half an hour. Then they did the episode. Then they played that song by Green Day. I'm pretty sure I cried.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure I might have.
I don't know if I watched it. I don't think I watched it in real time when it was on, because I watched it when I lived in Melbourne when I was in grade... What grade was I in? I was watching it young. I was in, like, grade one, I think.
Yeah.
And I didn't always get all the jokes, but I remember really enjoying it.
All the jokes.
Then I rekindled my love with it when I got... Ostar, which is Foxtel, so.
Oh, well.
And, it's a very good show. Very, very good show.
Very, very good show. There's really not many around like it anymore. Well, Two and a Half Men was another good one, I thought that was awesome, when Charlie was in it.
It wasn't as good as Seinfeld, though.
No, not as good, but it was still pretty damn funny. Charlie's got the sense of humour about him, whether or not he's off his head when he was doing it or not, I don't know, but he's got a pretty good sense of humour about him.
Yeah. And I don't really care as well. I don't really mind. It doesn't affect me.
I couldn't care less either. What did he do? I thought that was awesome. What did he do? Who cares? Each to their own. Xavier, any pro qualifier news at the moment?
Now, there's on my side, if I found out anything, I don't have a huge amount. I mean, looking at the list, there's a lot of good competitors. I mean, I was actually just thinking about it the other day. The figure's actually going to be really, really good. Like, just a few girls off the top of my head that I thought were competing. We've got Emily Jean Bisgrove-Cole, who's improved a hell of a lot lately. We've got Andy Forbes, who obviously is the national champion in the, I think, the tall class. We've got Sylvia Kovetskova, who won the short class at the nationals. We've got Katie Morris. I don't know if Rach White's going to do it. I don't think, as far as haven't heard any confirmation on if she's doing it. But there might be a few other girls as well. I mean, that's going to be a good class there.
That's a good lineup. I mean, you'd have to think, just on past this year alone, Andy Forbes is probably maybe the front runner. But, I don't know. Don't count out Katie Morris. She's had a massive off-season too. So, yeah.
And Sylvia, I thought brought her best package ever to Nationals by photos. And I was impressed with her last year as well. So
that's interesting.
It's going to be a very interesting figure lineup. So, yeah, we've obviously got Andy Forbes and Sylvia and Katie and Emily. Like, I think any one of them can get it. So I can't wait for that. But
what are we, 12 weeks out, mate? The countdown's on now. This is where most people start. I mean, I don't really start at 12, but most people have been into it for a while. This is starting to heat up now. I don't know if this is a rumor or not, and it's just something I picked up on Facebook. And I know Jimmy is a bit of a kidder. So, and I haven't actually asked him out front, but Jimmy, Nabba Jimmy.
Yes, Jimmy Content. Oh wait. I'm going to go on Facebook and check the spelling and then try to pronounce it.
Right.
So I don't want to butcher it.
Okay, well, I'll go on with it. Now, there was a little few things said on Facebook that may have indicated that he could have been getting ready for it, but I don't think he's ever done IFBB or won an IFBB Australian, so I could be wrong, but I don't think he has, unless some strings have been pulled. But if Jimmy goes in the 212s, that puts another high-caliber competitor in there.
Definitely, and people don't remember this, but when they had that elite show up in Darwin, Jimmy actually beat Luke Shembri there.
He did.
And Luke Shembri wasn't like Luke was way, way off or anything like that. Jimmy was just very, very hard. And it was, maybe a little bit controversial, and some people said maybe Luke should have won, some people said Jimmy should have won. But, I mean, this is a dude who you know is going to be in condition.
Yeah, Jimmy, I've never seen Jimmy out of condition ever. And he gets that level that not many people can reach as it is. So that alone is going to put him right up there. How he stacks up size and shape wise to the other top contenders we've talked about.
I've got a spelling of his name here too. I think it's Kotantonis. Or Kotantonis.
All right, Jimmy, I'm sorry if that's not the correct one. We've been mates for a while, and I should know it. I feel bad, but I don't even know Sonny's surname properly, and we're close as, so... Fuck. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not disrespect to you, Jimmy, because you're obviously outstanding. Because I always see names, but I never pronounce them, or I pronounce them in my head, and they're just totally wrong.
Yeah, Jimmy's a NABBA legend. He's won Australian titles, state titles. I think he's won a world. He's placed in the universes. You know, he's definitely a respected competitor.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And he's obviously, you know, beating Luke Chambry, you know, not too long before he turned pro is a massive, massive achievement. And he's one people have to watch out for if he does decide to compete or if he is able to compete.
Yes.
I like it. So.
Yeah, I believe, yeah. He's dangerous.
Yeah. Now, we'll cover off just one more Australian competitor and we better wrap up the show. Now, Adam Dowling, he's a guy, he won the Nationals, I believe it was this year or last year?
Nationals, no. He won in... Mate, I should fucking remember this.
I thought he won the Super Heavy National.
No, he did.
Oh, no, he did.
Last year, because I went down to Sydney and spent 2 weeks with Jimmy Sedek to keep his head on track for the comp. And Adam Dowling showed up and also spent the 2 weeks in the one-bedroom house. So there's me, Adam Dowling, and Jimmy Sedek. And it was the most painful time of my life. I love you, Adam, but it was very, very painful. Extremely painful.
So it was last year, was it?
It was 2012. 12. He won the Super Heavyweights against, I don't know... But he posted a photo.
Yeah, and he looked good in it as well. I mean, he posted, he actually posted two photos. He posted one, I think, the other day, and then maybe he posted one today as well. The one he posted the other day looks even more impressive, Mick, if you haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
but,
sorry.
He's packed on some size.
He has. He's almost like the silent assassin. He doesn't say too much on Facebook, which I'm not a fan of, like, you know, like, I think, fucking just fucking put it out there. Don't fucking carry on and be secretive, because that's probably why Adam has no sponsors. No offense, Adam. we might have one, I don't know. But he's slowly... He's got a massive, massive frame to fill out, mate. Honestly, when I stand next to Adam, I fucking feel even shorter. But those legs have come up tremendously in the last... They were looking good last year when he won the comp. He used to send me photos every now and then when he was coming in. But that photo really showed how much size he's put on him. And I know he's brought his arms up a lot and his shoulders a lot as well. He's told me, because I did unbox him after that, and I said, you know, are you competing, Adam? You're in pretty good shape. And he did say, whether or not, again, it's hard to tell with Adam what he's doing, but he did say he's putting off to 2015. So it very well could be the 2015 pro qualifier. He's eligible for it.
Yeah, and that's I mean, if it is 2015, I imagine that's what it'd be, because, I mean, that's a long time to have off. 2012
to 2015. He does tend to have... He's another one along the lines of John Davey and guys like that, that tend to have a fair bit of time off between shows. And I guess that's probably due to the fact that Adam is so tall. I mean, Adam's tall. He's one of the tallest guys that competes. I guess that is because he's so tall. And you do need a bit more time to fill those frames out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you really notice that as well on some tall guys. They really do need that time to make the improvements, because otherwise they just keep on coming in a bit, you know, maybe a little bit too stringy or a little bit too, you know,
just
need those little bits filled out. Now, Mick, this is a little bit unprofessional, but did you mention you wanted to say something about Ben Pekulski before we recorded?
Is that unprofessional?
Oh, well, I'm just trying to remember, because I didn't remember what you said about him.
No, well, I remember we were just touching on base, and I've never... I've been listening to a bit more of his podcast, but I've also been YouTubing a lot of his training methods and stuff like that. He's a very very interesting guy to watch. Like, I've taken on board a few of his training methods with a few of my clients and also myself, and getting some good results with him, and definitely feeling... a bit more pain in certain muscle areas than what I have done in the past with different angles. Very interesting guy to listen to.
Yeah, I actually, when he had that MI40 program that he brought out, I actually followed it for a little bit to change things up a bit. But the way he executes a lot of exercises, he makes a lot of sense in terms of, you know, tempo and stuff like that. And the tempo he follows, I'm sure he actually doesn't follow it personally himself all the time, because it is a very slow... eccentric portion of a movement.
Yes, yeah.
But it's very interesting when you go through these different little things, and you tweak your own training and you think, you know, shit, I got really sore from that. You know, it really did stimulate the head of a muscle I was trying to work. And he's a knowledgeable dude. I mean, he's got a lot of knowledge and he's always learning. And that's something I like about Ben, because not many pros, I mean, there's a few pros, but there's not a real lot of pros that seem to really delve into it and keep trying to learn about, you know, the training and diet aspects. And it seems like a lot of guys... amateurs, pros, whatever, are very just caught up in the, in the drug side of it for those athletes. So,
and mate, this actually made me think just then too with Sonny. This is why Sonny is going to be a great bodybuilder in the years to come, is because Sonny is very, very similar in that approach. It just dawned on me then. Like, I remember the conversation I had with Sonny. He will spend hours on the internet going through training, through nutrition, supplements, you name it. He spends hours. And he's one guy. But he's only, what is he, young, 21, 22. Sometimes I'll just text Sonny or when we see him, I say, Sonny, what do you think about this? And he has an answer to everything. Even stomach allergies. I know Aaron Pilates had a stomach issue not long ago. Mate, Sonny came up with exactly how to combat it.
That's awesome.
Now, guys like that with good genetics that train hard, and Sonny does, because you've seen his video clips going up on Facebook, that's dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get him back on the show as well, too, before FitX. I'm going to start getting guys like him and Aaron Pilates. And,
yeah. Nah, screw Pilates.
Screw Pilates? What, screw Pilates?
Screw Pilates. It's all going to his head.
What makes you say that?
I said to Aaron, I said with FitX in Australasia coming up, I said, now I'm not saying Aaron is going under 80, but I'm saying, as if you probably, now I know why you're thinking about under 80, because Sonny is looking fucking sensational. He didn't like that, but it's a physique game and you've got to call it how you see it, no matter how close we are.
Oh, so you gave Aaron Pilates a little bit of slap in the face then?
Oh, sometimes you need it. I mean, I copped enough over my career.
Yeah.
But hey, if he's on the ball, Aaron would take what I've said positively, like we spoke about last week. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you, Mick. I'm going even harder now.
Yeah. I mean, last year, he impressed the hell out of me. And for some reason, shorter guys, when they get on stage, they look smaller.
Yeah.
But Aaron was the opposite for me.
Yeah.
When he was on stage, he looked bigger and fuller, and he looked enormous.
His muscle bellies are so freaky.
Yeah.
They always will. It's guys with muscle bellies and shape always look bigger on stage. Where, okay, you Aaron was your surprise one this year. I'm telling you, and mark my words, that's going to be Sonny next year. Everyone's been waiting for Sonny competing-wise. I mean, he's always done good. He's looked good. But this is going to be the year where people go, holy shit, he looks unreal. And let's see where this kid goes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Sonny's going to look a lot better. I'm expecting him to look very good now from what I've heard and what I've seen and everything like that. How much bigger do you think Aaron's going to be? Because, I mean, seeing Aaron last year, he looks like, when he's on stage, it looks like, geez, you've got a lot of muscle on that frame of yours.
Yep.
But, I mean, will his physique flow the same with more muscle, or what do you think?
It's hard to say, mate. He does have good guidance at the moment with our group, especially like me and Logan and a few of the other boys, and we do try and keep him, you know, try and help him out where we can. He seems to have done everything right. His training methods are right. He knows his weak points. He hits his weak points hard. It's not like he hides from it. He knows his weak points are back. He knows his weak points have been legs, and he knows his weak points have been chest. They've been his priority all off-season. Now, if you've seen current photos, one, Aaron's legs are right up, massive improvements. Two, his back is a lot thicker. His chest is up, but always remember, and this is very similar to Lee Priest, whenever you've got very overpowering arms and shoulders, you'll see these guys lack a lot in the depth of their chest, which is what happened to Aaron. Now, I'm not to say he can't fill that out in time, but I think his legs and back are going to come up tremendously, but I think his chest is going to be one of those points. And this is just taking myself out of us being best mates and being constructive. His chest is always going to be an issue for him over the years. So he's going to have to work out, and this is where it comes into play the last few days for a comp too, if you're carving up right, is to make sure you keep that chest full. Because if he flattens out, the first place he's going to lose it from is the chest.
And you see that a lot from shorter guys and guys with his structure. But
yeah,
I'm very excited to see what he looks like this year. I'm very, very excited to see how a lot of guys look.
You are going to be for a surprise, because I know he is a hell of a lot better. Pitchers never do anyone justice, let's face it, no one justice. I see Aaron quite regularly. Every time I see him, I'm impressed. And I'm not one to hide back, mate. I say to him, like, fuck, man, you have done the hard working off season. He never took it, you know, he never took it easy. He went pretty hard, stuck to what Logan sort of set him out to do, and, you know, he's done the work. And there is going to be a lot of good competitors in the under 80s and under 90s. So let's just hope, I guess, you know, obviously Az and Sonny are good mates of mine, so I always wish them the best.
Yeah, hopefully we see them guys right up there, and I think there's going to be a lot of good competitors, and I think the show's going to continue to grow, and maybe next year there'll be even more weight classes, because it seems like it's going to go that way.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I'm 12 weeks out. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm more excited than Big Kev.
Now, well, that's going back a little bit. Oh, dear. Anyway, Mick, do you have a shout of the week? Or do
mate, my shout of the week was actually already been done, and that was an intro about Sonny, so you can pretty much combine those things together. Nothing more to say. I mean, I've pretty much dumped front praise on him, and, yeah, I hope he gets the job done. And he's very committed. He's living in basically a prison camp, and all he does is eat, sleep, train, and work, so that's going to bring out the best. Mate, I can honestly say when I saw him, I was shocked. Like, I was shocked. He was walking down the beach in the water, and I just went, fucking hell. He almost looks better now than what he did on stage in any of his comps. And that's been honest to God truth.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see it. But, Mick, that's it for another episode. I want to mention our sponsors. Obviously, we've got Gripped Fitness Accessories. Go check out their website and get some of their stuff, some of the best accessories in the business. ATP Sciences, obviously Matt Legg, always dropping knowledge on Aussie Muscle Radio. My Muscle Chef, their orders close Tuesday at midnight for weekend's orders. Muscle Nutrition, this show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Check out their great line of products. Bulknutrients.com.au, go to their website and check out all their cheap supplements. International Protein, great protein, awesome sponsor of RX Muscle. Mass Nutrition, over 30 stores around Australia. Visit massnutrition.com.au. And of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. Now, Mick, that's it for episode number 85 of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.